ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോമിഷ്ടപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുർമിലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാൻ സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച. നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി. നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ദയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ. മാധുര്യോജ്ജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ. നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനതാരിണി രൂപനൂക വിരുദ്ധാഭ സിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണി. നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബര സാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ. നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനൂകവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്തു നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയാഃ വൈഷ്ണവസാർവഭൗമ ശ്രീജഗന്നാഥായ തേ നമഃ. വാഞ്ചകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. നമോ മഹാവദാന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വിഷേ നമഃ. പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാക്തികം. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാ കാന്തരാധാ കാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. ജയതാം സുരതോ ഭാംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാം ഭോജോ രാധാ മദനമോഹനോ. ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥൗ ശ്രീമദ്രാധാ ശ്രീലഗോവിന്ദദേവൗ പ്രേഷ്ഠാളിഭി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി. ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാസരസാരംഭീ വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷൻവേണുസ്വനേർഗോപീർഗോപിനാഥാ ശ്രീയസ്തുന തപ്തകാഞ്ചനഗൗരംഗീരാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാ നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം. നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്രാം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാഹം. പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദ്ദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല. അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സ്തോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം. പാരാശര്യവചസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനബോധിതം. ലോകേ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജം കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈ വേദൈ സംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഹം. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദു സുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമാം. So, last Sunday, when we were discussing this Vibhuti Yogam, the 10th chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna, Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatvaro Manavastatha Madbhava Manasa Jata Yesham Loka Imaha Prajaha. The 6th verse, Krishna said that all the great 7 sages, Bhrigu onwards, the 7 great sages, and then the 14 Manus, Savarni, Rudra Savarni, listed there in the Bhagavadam, and then also the 4 Kumaras, they were all born, Krishna said, the Chatvaro Manavathada Savarnadi Prasiddhaha. All of them, from them came Yesham Loka Ima Prajaha, which we saw last Sunday. So, Krishna also mentioned there that this Vibhudis, Krishna said that the first Vibhudi which is Krishna mentions there is that from this Chitshakti they came. They didn't come from the mind. They didn't come from the mind. We are born from the mind in the sense that the Sangalpam of the father and mother is what has brought us here in this form of a son or a daughter, whichever way it comes. So, when Krishna says that all other living entities were born from these Manus and the Kumaras and the Saptarishis, he mentions also there that a part of them is within us and that will not go because we come from that lineage, from the lineage of the Kumaras, lineage of the Rishis, Saptarishis, and the lineage of the 14 Manus. That is why still there is some spiritual spark in all of us to inquire about the truth. Kumaras are the personifications of knowledge. And that is still, and the Rishis also. And that is why that spark is still there in us, in spite of all problems what we experience in this body. Still something is telling us inside there is a truth beyond all this body and the mind. And where is that thought coming? It's coming from that spark what we have inherited from the, this is our inheritance from the sages, from the sages. So that is why in the Upanishads they will not address any time as sinners. That's not the way they address us. Shrinando Vishwe Amrudasya Putraha. This is our addressing, talking about us. We are children of immortality. We are children of immortality. Never they condemn us thinking that we are, oh, you are a sinner, you are gone, you can, nothing can be done about you. No, that's not how they see us. The great sages, the rishis are seeing us as though we are children of immortality. Shrinando Vishwe Amrudasya Putraha. So that is, they address us in that Vedam. Vedam is addressing us like this. And in reality, we are all children of the rishis. Children of the rishis. And all human species come from them. All human species come from them. And where did the rishis and the kumaras and the manus, they come? They came from Krishna. They came from Krishna. That is why I gave this example also that in Chidambaram temple, even today, when the child is born in members of the family, they bring the child and show it to Lord Shiva and says to them, that is the granddad who is standing there in front of them. And Krishna mentions this. We have seen that verse before. Pidaham asya jagado madha dhada pidamaha vedyam pavitram ongaram raksami yajurevacha. Just like a few verses last chapter. In the ninth chapter, I think we saw that, isn't it? Krishna also mentions that. That is why Krishna is saying that. Pidaham asya jagato matha dadha pitamaha. That is the 17th verse in the 9th chapter. Krishna says, Pidaham, yeah, I am the father, I am the mother. And I am the grandfather and Vedyam. And Pidaham asya jagato matha dadha pitamaha. I am the father, mother and the grandfather or great-grandfather, whatever. Everything is me. It is based on this understanding. That madbhava manasa jada yesham loka yuma prajaha. So you can see that Krishna has not left us. Krishna is still in connection with us. Only thing is we have left Krishna. Krishna hasn't left us. It's us who have left Krishna. So from all this, you will notice one thing that Vidahamasya jagato matha dada pidamaha vedyam pavitram omkaram raksama yajurevacha. Rishis have only one thing to tell us, that addressing Krishna, they're mentioning that tvam stri, tvam pumanasi, tvam kumara utava kumari, tvam jirnam dandena vai chasvarchasi, tvam jado bhavasi vishado mukaha. Rishis is saying here, tvam stri, tvam pumanasi, this woman, man, and boy, girl, and And Tvam Kumara Utava Kumari, Tvam Jirno Dandena Vanchasi. When one is getting old, he is old person, he is carrying his stick to walk in this world, and everything is Krishna Swarupam. Krishna Swarupam is all that. It's not that, that and then rishis who have realized that is called Aprachalita Yogam, which Krishna calls this as Avigampena Yogam. Different words, that's all in essence, it means the same thing. Upanishads puts it like this: Tvam Stri, Tvam Pumanasi, Tvam Kumara, Utava Kumari, Tvam Jirno, Dandena Vanchasi, Tvam Jado Bhavi, Vishwato Mukha. In other words, everything in this creation, wherever you see the life, any life, that's all the father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, everything is Krishna. It is from Krishna everything has come. That is what it is stressing there. And when our vision becomes like that, then it is called Aprachalita Yogam. Aprachalita Yogam. In other words, it's not some yoga system that is to be practiced while eyes being closed. When the eyes are open, this realization inside that all living beings are Krishna's children, Krishna's grandchildren. In that way they had come. So that all other avigambe yogena yujyate, all after executing all other sadhana and reflection of the truth, this message is still there, that which we discussed also last Sunday. The Kumaras asked that question to Krishna, isn't it? In the Hamsa Gitam, that is what was discussed, how the separation between the mind and the three modes of nature will happen. Three modes of nature enters inside us, and then the separation becomes very difficult. That we have seen last Sunday, and Krishna addressed that as the Samyak Darshanam. Samyak Darshanam means, we use that word there also, Samyak Darshanam means that it is always used in the Bhagavad Gita throughout, that to see things as they are. We are not seeing things as they are now. What we are seeing is, under the influence of the modes of nature and the influence of Maya, we are seeing things. That is why we have this separation, man, woman, boy, girl, and all sorts, old man, young man, and different bodily identities. That's all seeing in the seeing with a blurred vision. When the proper vision comes, what we should see is that everyone is coming from Krishna. Everybody is coming from Krishna. So that vision is called Samyak Darshanam. Krishna said this to Uddhava also, isn't it? What did Krishna say is, Tundu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Svajana Bandushu Mayavesya Manaha Samyak. That Samyak Darshanam is that. Samyak Darshanam means this. Toyavesya Mana. Krishna says, after you have absorbed in the soul, in the Atma, then Samyak Darshanam has to happen. And then Samadrik, equal vision will come. Otherwise, equal vision won't come. Only when we see that one verse in the Srival Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, is a whole summary of the Ekadasham. Tundu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Svajana Bandushu Mayavesya Mana Samyak Samadrik Vijara Sugam. Krishna says first, Mayavesya Mana, that complete absorption in the soul. In other words, total identity on the spiritual level. Spiritual reality, spiritual truth. Mayaveshamana. Then Samyak. Then seeing completely fixed up in that state, seeing all living beings is coming from Krishna. Samyak. And without any interruption, constant realization of that. Then Samadrik. The result of that is equal vision to all living entities. There is no Ragadvesham anymore inside. Ragadvesham, when it has completely gone away from the mind, only in that state that vision will come. Or if that state happens, Ragadvesham cannot be there. So Ragadvesham has gone away, that's why Samadrik comes. Then Vijara Sogam. Krishna says after that, nothing else to be achieved in this world. Walk through this world, Krishna says to Uddhava. If you remember, in the Ekadasha Skandam, we saw that in the 7th chapter, in the beginning, the whole 7th chapter in the 11th canto begins with this one verse. What Krishna is going to talk through the rest 29 chapters is summarized in that one verse. Tundu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Svajana Bandushu Mayavesya Mana Samyak Samadrik Vichara Sugam. So one, that Samyak Darshanam, that means that one Samyak Darshanam comes, that is Tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam we saw last Sunday. Tattvajnanam means to see things as they are, without any adulteration, without any contamination, pure vision, proper vision of the things as they are. So one who sees like that, he does not lose that yoga state even in the vyavaharam stage. Even while engaged in transactions in this world, he will not lose that yoga state. That yoga state he does not lose. And that will be always avikampam. Avikampa means no vibrations anymore in the mind. That's what Krishna is saying there. Avikampena yogena. So avikampena yogena yujyade matra samshaya. That's what that means. So avikampena yogena. At that state, there is no vikampanam. Vikampanam means any kind of vibration in the mind. Mind does not vibrate anymore. It is so steady. It will not have any effect at all. This state is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi by the yogis and Sahaja Nirvikalpa. Sahaja Nirvikalpa means in a natural stage it has come to us. It happens to us in a natural way, without any effort. Through deep reflection and realization it happens and it becomes a natural state. And that's what is called Sahaja Nirvikalpa. And that is what is the way how to reach that state? And that is the next verse. How to reach that state, Sahaja Nirvikalpa state, or Avigambena Yogena, what Krishna says here, how to get to that state, that is the next verse. And this next verse is also an expansion of the first sutram of the Brahma Sutram. Brahma Sutram's first sutram is Janmadhyasayataha. That Janmadhyasayataha is the first line in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. Janmadhyasayataha. The expansion of that Janmadhyasayataha is the next verse. So let's look at that verse. Aham sarvasya prabhavo.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo.
Matta sarvam pravartate.
Matta sarvam pravartate.
Imatva bhajante mam.
Imatva bhajante mam.
Buddha bhava samanvitah.
Buddha bhava samanvitah.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo.
Matta sarvam pravartate.
Iti
matva bhajante
mam.
Buddha bhava samanvitaha. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Matta sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante mam. Buddha bhava samanvita. This verse is an expansion of the Janmadhyasayataha, which is the first sutram in the Brahma Sutram or Vedanta Sutram, and it is also the first line in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Worship me with all their hearts. So, aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says this as the first of the four verses which comes from this, or the chaturshlokis of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. So, first thing is, Krishna says, there must be a source for everything. Source. From which everything comes out. There must be a source. And generally, for that, we call it as Janmam. Janma means that, isn't it? This is the interesting point. Aham, Krishna says, aham sarvasya prabhavo. Everything is coming from that source. What is that source? That location is aham. Awareness. Consciousness, in other words. All these verses, you have to look at it that way. When Krishna says aham, aham, do not go into that way thinking that Krishna is talking about this body, not based on the body, completely on the spiritual platform. Krishna is saying to us that from awareness is the source. First source is awareness. So that is me, Atma, in other words, or another word from Chaitanyam or living force, whichever way you call it as Brahman, Krishna, Atma, Chaitanyam, Aham, it's all one and the same, all nothing but Krishna, consciousness, pure consciousness. And so only if that consciousness is there, all other things are working in the creation, isn't it? Janmadhyase aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade. Krishna says. Pravartate means it's all working. This material world and all living entities, that can only work if that source is there. Which one? Aham. Aham is that source, awareness. If it's there, everything will work. If that awareness is not there, nothing will work. That's the point Krishna is making there. Aham, that awareness, is sarvasya prabhavo. Everything is coming from that. Matta sarvam pravartade. Everything is working because of its presence inside. Because of the presence inside. And only because of that living force, Chaitanya, living force, Chaitanyam, Atma, whichever way you call it, Aham. And it is there, it is working. It is in this Atma or Chaitanyam, it's all working. This whole creation is working on the background of this Aham or awareness. And finally, it goes back and dissolves into Aham, into the awareness. From the consciousness, everything comes and we get separated and identifies with our body. And when finally everything is over, all body goes away and finally all the consciousness goes back to the same source where it came from, isn't it? Where it came from. So from Chaitanyam or this awareness, this was born. In awareness it remains, and in awareness it goes back finally to dissolves into the awareness. Just like they give the example, in the ocean the waves are coming and the waves are staying in the ocean, and finally the waves goes back into the ocean itself. Similarly, so how do we understand? This is the tattvam, tattvikam. Tattvikam understanding is that so although, how should we understand? Although that is there anything happening in the ocean? In fact, because you are seeing it like a wave, they are not separate from the ocean. Isn't it? They are not separate from the ocean. When the waves are coming up, they are not separate from the ocean. Similarly, when they go back into the ocean, they although they disappear, they've gone back to the ocean again. Never they are separated from the ocean. So in all time, in the past, in the present, in the future, the waves remain as a part of the ocean. They are never separated from the ocean. So initially the ocean is also water, and waves are also water, isn't it? So similarly, all living entities here in this creation, they are taking birth from this awareness, consciousness, and in the consciousness they remain, and finally they go back into the consciousness. They go back into the consciousness. So where is it experienced? It's experienced all everything is experienced in the consciousness. In the consciousness. Where are they situated? In the consciousness. And where do they dissolve? In the consciousness. In the consciousness. For example, a thought comes into our mind. Where did the thought come from? Where did the thought come from? We are simply sitting quietly somewhere and a thought comes. Where is the thought coming from? And it comes from the mind. That's what we say, isn't it? It is. I got this thought. Usually we'll say like that. It has come from the mind. Actually, it didn't come from the mind. Mind itself is the thought. There's no such thing called the mind inside. Nowhere in the body you can locate the mind. Mind itself is the thought. That is how we have to understand. Thought waves are not the mind. What we call it as mind, what is it? It is nothing but this series of thoughts that's coming through. Thought waves. That's all. So that thought itself is the mind. And that mind takes birth from some space inside. Inner space. So it comes out from that inner space and remains in that inner space, and then it goes back into that inner space. So in other words, it gives space for that thought to come up, thought to stay, and the thought to disappear in the same space where it coming from. That is why in the Vedantam, mind is given sangalpa vikalpa mana. Mind is defined in that way. So that source where this has originated, and that that place where the source, where it's coming from, the thoughts are coming from, that's called the heart, hridayam. It's on the right hand side, they say in the yoga system, they address it in like that way. So considering that space there, which is the heart, it is based on that Krishna is saying here, aham, aham, aham. It is that aham Krishna is talking about. And do not take it as 5,000 years ago who appeared in Gokulam, that Krishna is talking now. It's not that Krishna is not referring to that who appeared in Gokulam, and it is not his story. It is the story of this aham inside awareness. If you start linking with Krishna, you won't be able to explain this, what it is all about. It is this awareness aham, it is from that state Krishna is saying these things. So this experience, aham, 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 awareness, aham asmi, is inside all of us. Inside all of us all the time. That is why we are sitting here, we are speaking, we are hearing, and we are conscious of our existence, awareness, isn't it? It's coming from that source, aham, aham. And so that bodham, awareness, and it is because of that awareness we are experiencing this world, isn't it? First of all, because of the awareness we are experiencing our own existence. Secondly, because of that awareness we are experiencing this world. We are experiencing this world. And this world is existing only because of that awareness. So the world is born from this awareness, world is remaining in that awareness, and world will dissolve into the awareness. When the awareness has changed, suppose this awareness has completely broken away with this body, completely left this body, then this awareness will not have be experiencing the world as it is experienced through the body and the senses. Isn't it? Krishna makes a good story about it in the Bhagavadam if you look. Very nicely Krishna says. He says, the way he puts it, Krishna puts it is like this, that there is a tree standing there, he said. A bird, a nice bird, parrot has come and sat on that tree, branch of the tree. So while the bird was sitting there, a woodcutter has come with an axe and he started cutting. And he kept on cutting, and when the bird realized it, that the tree is going to fall, what did the bird do? It flew off. Didn't bother about the tree anymore. It flew off. He says, this is exactly how the jiva is within this body. Krishna is saying this. He will wait in the... He has no connection. The soul has no connection with the body. It stays here till cutting is going on. That is why this tuck, 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 tuck going on here. That's that cutting going on. Krishna's example is fantastic example. Doctors are saying this is a sign of living. Krishna is saying it's a sign of death. Exactly opposite. Doctors tell us that this tuck, tuck, tuck going on here is a symptom of life. Doctors tell us like that, isn't it? They check the heartbeat, they got that thing, stethoscope, put it on the chest to check, oh, you're living, you still have life in you. But Krishna is saying, no, I put it there to make you aware that the tree is being cut. Cutting is going on. Tuck, 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 it's going on. And one day, final tuck. At that time, just like the bird fly away from the tree, the soul will go away from here. That's all it is, Krishna says. You can look at that in the Bhagavadam. I'll tell you those verses, how Krishna so nicely spoken about that in the canto. Twentieth chapter, if you look, verse 16, 11, 20, 16. Aho ratre chidhyamanam budhvayur bhayave pathu mukta sanga param budhva niriham upashamyati. Aho ratre chidhyamanam, day and night, this tuck, tuck, tuck is going on, cutting is going on. Actually, if you think about it, that is what the truth is, isn't it? This, see the difference between vidya and avidya. This is vidya. The doctor's view is avidya, actually. Doctors are putting the stethoscope and saying, that's avidya it is, basically. From the viewpoint, Krishna's viewpoint, It is exactly like the tree standing there, the bird sitting on the tree. If you remember this example, he says, in the verse before that, in the 15th, he says, Chidyamanam yame reide kritaneedam vanaspadim khaga sokedam ulsrijya kshemam yadi halambadaha. Khaga means the bird. Sokedam ulsrijya, he knows that his place of residence is over. So he wants to go. Sokedam ulsrijya kshemam yadi alambadaha. He has to find another place to stay. That's all. The bird doesn't think, oh, the tree is going to be cut and he's going to regret about it. Similarly, the soul is not going to regret about the death of the body. That is this beautiful example Krishna has put in here to make us aware how death happens. We are thinking, oh, I have to leave this body. Who is thinking? Soul is not thinking. In my mind, I am making up all these things about death. Is it not? That is the point he's making here. That chidyamanam yamairedai kritaneedam vanaspadim khagha sokedam ulsrajya kshemam yadi alambadaha ahoratrai chidyamanam buddhvayurbhayave padhum muktasangaparam buddhva niriham upashamyadi. So the answer Krishna is saying here, that ahoratrai chidyamanam, day and night this cutting is going on. Actually, it is cutting, because we have nothing to do with that cutting, what is going on. Whether we are sleeping or whether we are awake, it goes on, isn't it? It goes on. Buddhvayurbhayave padhum. What it is saying is, every time it is getting cut, the tree is ready to fall anytime. And we will fall one day. We know it will. So, avidya makes all the other things. We are thinking that, oh, this body, somehow if I can keep it going for a while, and then we go to the gym, we go so many places to thinking that it will somehow, because I've done, somebody says that I used to walk every day 5 miles, that's why I'm saying I have a long life. Somebody else says I've been going through all Ayurvedic massages, that's why I have lived a long life. That's all bogus. That has nothing to do. When the prarabdham is over, that cutting is going on and the body will drop one day. Ahoratrai chidyamanam buddhvayur bhayave padhu muktasanga param buddhva niriham upashamyadi. So there's nothing we can do about it. This is the truth what Krishna is saying to us here. So from here you can see that the that is where the awareness, in that awareness we are experiencing this world, we are experiencing the existence of this world. When the final cutting has happened and the bird has left the tree, or the soul has left this body, then he is not bothered what exists. For him there is no existence of this creation as the way we are seeing it now. Now we are seeing it through the mind and the senses, and that's what we are, our experience, perception of this world, and we think that this is the real thing, isn't it? So that's what Krishna says here, that it is in the awareness that this world remains. It is awareness only, the world exists. It's only in the awareness the world exists. And it is in the awareness that the world is existing. Awareness, world was born. In awareness, the world is existing, and it is in the same awareness the world finally dissolves. So it is not the world that is important, it is the awareness that is important. In fact, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Gargi and Yajnavalkya's discussions with Gargi, it says here that the way the question answer is very interesting. It says here, so where does this earth stand? Asks Gargi to Yajnavalkya. Yajnavalkya is a great personality, isn't it? Great sage he was. So Gargi asks Yajnavalkya, where is this earth standing? He says. Yajnavalkya says to him, What's the doubt? The earth stands in the water. Water. So then where does the water stand? Water stand in the fire. Water stands in the fire. Where does the fire stand? Fire stands in the air. And where does the air stand? Air stands in the space. And then she asked him, because it stands in the air, it's in the space, everything is moving, isn't it? Everything is moving. And it's the same process of creation, what is spoken about. that the space from the mind came the space, from the space came the air, then fire, then water, and then the earth. Earth is the most gross form of that. So if you look at the creation process from the Vedic point of view, finally everything goes back into the space. Everything goes back into the space. Then she asked him, where does the space stand? It's the same question what our scientists are also asking. Where is this creation coming from? When was this creation? When did this creation? There, the question ends there. Is it not? They have no answer after that. So there, the rishis are saying to us there, so one who is experiencing the space, one whoever is experiencing the space, it is in his experience only the space is there. So there, that experience is happening in the awareness. You see, we are thinking space means something we can measure all the time, isn't it? That's our perception of the space. But Upanishad is telling us that after coming back from the earth to water to fire to air to ether, where is the ether? The space. Space is in the awareness. And it is in awareness that the space is there. You see, understand that space is there. So you feel that there is space now. Where is it happening? In the awareness. It's happening in the awareness. This is Vedanta. Pure Vedanta, that is. That anubhavam sthiti layam. That means that experience, its existence, its dissolution, everything. All this creation, what we talk about, it's all feels its existence only because of this awareness inside. That, in other words, including the space is in awareness. Including the space in our awareness. This scientists have not touched yet. They are still thinking in a gross level, trying to understand where did all come from. They can't understand that this awareness is in this space is in the awareness. And what is the best example? If you think about deep sleep state, there is no space, is there? From that deep sleep state, you have to know that space is only in the awareness. So when you go to deep sleep in the night, there is no time, there is no space. There's no time, there's no space, isn't it? Now why I'm repeating this in every class is that we are not taking it seriously. We are thinking it is a very simple thing to understand. Understanding is one thing. But see the implications of that. In all the scientific research, everything, it's affected by this thought itself, isn't it? From time and space. So what else is there? Time and space doesn't exist in the deep sleep state. The ego doesn't exist. I am, I am. That ego doesn't exist. No vyavaharam, no transactions in this world. Nothing exists. And very amazing stage that is, isn't it? Nothing goes on there. And if you tell someone about samadhi, they won't understand. They'll ask, what does that mean? What happens in the samadhi? But you think about this state, what we are in the deep sleep, what happens? Just imagine that state. There is nothing there, no ego, I am. Nobody else exists in that state. No space exists, no time exists, and and no transactions of this world exist. Nothing exists there. And in that deep sleep state, everything what we have carried on during our daytime, in our awakened state, it goes back everything and it dissolves there in that deep sleep state. Isn't it? Body goes away. Mind goes away. False ego goes away. And the creation goes away. Creation goes away. Everything goes away. What to talk about everything else? Including Krishna goes away. In our imagination, what we have got as Krishna, that Krishna also goes away. Bhagavad Gita goes away. Everything goes away in that deep sleep state. And time, space, nothing new. Only thing is, when I woke up in the morning, all I have got to say is, I was very happy. It was a very nice time I had. Anandam. Upanishad says, Anandam. Anandam is the swarupam of that state. Anandam only, nothing else, isn't it? So, then where did it start from? Then it started everything in the morning, isn't it? So, morning when you wake up, everything has started. first the mind came, Ahankaram came, false ego came, and the body came, senses came, the world came, and all the transactions came. Then in the transactions, man, woman, boy, girl, and Indian, European, American, all these designations came. Like that, it kept on going, expanding, expanding. In the night when you went back to deep sleep, everything left, finally the body left, and you go back to that state again. That is Sushupti. Sushupti is beauty. You see? Sushupti is beauty. What we talk about so much, we are trying to... If you tell somebody, oh, in Samadhi you don't know any of these things, then they will say, how do I get to experience that? The only answer, tangible answer to that is, go back to Sushupti and look at it, what's happening there. In that Sushupti, everything, body, mind, false ego, the world, all our transactions, all what we consider very important in the vacant state, all goes away and disappears there, layam. And that's all happening in that aham, awareness. In awareness, this is happening. Awareness, that is happening. So that is the place, when you woke up in the morning, everything has begun. Again, the same thing has started again. So here you can see, in that state, everything dissolves, isn't it? Everything dissolved. And who is there in that Sushupti state, in that deep sleep state? Who is there? That is the question, isn't it? And somebody is there who is very, very special in that deep sleep state. And many, many times you can see some of our illnesses. Sometimes when you get very, very strong headache, you go back to deep sleep, then you wake up, it's gone, isn't it? It's gone. Many illnesses, you get cured in that deep sleep state. If you get the deep sleep properly, you'll get cured from there. So, similarly, when you're bored with the world or any other things, you go to deep sleep, you wake up, it goes away. So, if you do not go to that state for some days, you become very very, very disturbed, isn't it? If you don't get a good sleep. Everybody complains, I didn't get a good sleep last night, you'll say. And if it continues for two or three nights, then the first priority in your mind, this will be the thing. When can I get a good sleep? If you didn't get a good sleep for a few nights, then you will say this, oh, I couldn't sleep last night. Last few days I didn't have a good sleep. Then the next thing in your deep inside, you'll be thinking about a deep sleep first. Where can I get a good sleep? This is what you'll be thinking about, isn't it? So, if you don't go back to that state, you feel disturbed. You feel very disturbed. In other words, it's also showing to us, as long as you are remaining on your personality level, you go crazy. You cannot be happy in your personality state. Personality state is not a happy state. Personality state is subject to this volatility. It is volatile state. It's not Shanti state. Shanti state is not personality state. So personality and personality, and these are the people who do not understand this secret of Bhagavad Gita, they go and run the personality development courses. They are the ones who are running this personality development courses. And so if you keep on developing this personality development, if you keep on sharpening it in a person, finally what will happen is that person, ultimately what he does is he'll go and commit suicide. If you keep on developing this personality in a person. Somehow we give too much importance to this thing called personality, thinking that personality is perfection. Personality is not perfection. It's a misunderstanding. The very proof, why Krishna has given us Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, to make us understand that it is in this personality state all your problems are coming from. When you go back into the deep sleep state, where is the problem? There is no personality, there is no body, there is no mind, there is no transactions, there is no world, nothing, and happiness is there. In the morning when you wake up, when you start all the identifications one after the other, all the problems are coming back to you. And we think that it is due to because we are our personality is not strong enough. We have to develop it properly. So this is the problem. In other words, the person who is running this personality development course is in a deeper ignorance than the one who is attending it. Try to understand that. The one who is running this personality development courses based on Bhagavad Gita is on a deeper ignorance than the person who is going to learn from them. Learn from them. Because he is so convinced that his personality is the truth. Personality is the truth. So, because he is taking this personality very real, isn't it? So what can you do? for a short period of time, in the deep sleep state, when you have no personality, you are receiving or achieving the greatest anandam or happiness, as Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says that, isn't it? And think about this, and it is happening in a natural way in us at that time, in that deep sleep state. In a natural way, it's happening. And in order to get that happiness in the vacant state, all we have to do is, in the vacant state, we have to somehow or the other destroy this personality. Destroy this personality. Personality is the problem. Personality is our problem. But our education and our upbringing and our society, everything is only teaching us how to strengthen this personality. Isn't it? Strengthen this personality. So that personality is nothing but false ego. Somehow if you get rid of that, the rishis have given us, the sages have given us two processes. One is bhakti, other one is jnanam. Only these two processes. He says here, bhakti means what? Completely surrendering. Surrendering oneself to this realization of the what is in the deep sleep state. Then offer yourself to the source completely. Surrender yourself to the source completely. And that source where you will naturally goes and surrenders. Because what's happening in the Sushupti, you are surrendering there. Isn't it? That's what happens in the Sushupti. You are surrendering there. But not voluntarily. In a natural way it's happening there. In the deep sleep. Natural way. The body you are losing, the mind you are losing, intelligence is going, ego is gone, and the world has gone, transactions have gone, everything has gone, and you have surrendered there to that soul inside, to the Chaitanyam. You have surrendered there, and that's what's happening in a natural way in that way. It is happening. That is what is happening in the deep sleep state. But if you are able to do that consciously, that is more important. That is what spiritual life means. Instead of doing that in a natural way, what has happened in the natural way, because that only happens in the deep sleep state. So in the deep sleep state, it happens in a natural way. In yoga process, bhakti yogam and jnana yogam, it happens consciously. Consciously it happens. Not in an unnatural way. Not in an unnatural way, but consciously. Consciously. See, in deep sleep, it happens in a natural way, isn't it? We are not in control of that. That's only an experience for us to learn something from that. It's a very, very, very precise example what Krishna is telling us. That you lose your ego, individuality or personality, whatever we call it, your body, your mind, ego, senses, the world, and all the transactions of this world, everything, you are losing it in a natural way in the deep sleep state. And you came out with the result that you were very happy. Happiness was there, isn't it? Happiness was there. So that was happening in a natural way, it happened. But in a not in a natural way, but consciously, if you are able to do that in the yoga process, then it will come into the vacant state also, that awareness in the same way, and you will experience the same happiness of that in the vacant state. And that is called bhakti or jnanam. Bhakti yogam and jnana yogam. So that is why in bhakti yogam, how do we do that? Everything with that knowledge, isn't it? Just like either you surrender to the spiritual master or to Krishna. to Krishna or to the spiritual master. So, in everywhere in the Vedic philosophy, the only thing Vedam is telling us, surrender, surrender, surrender. That is the principle. Don't fight. Because what philosophy you have studied, or what Vedantam you have studied, or what Shastram you have studied, that is not important. That is not the important thing in the application of this. Application of this is these simple things. That from this explanation of the deep sleep state, you can see that Krishna is telling us that when I take away everything from you, you see, in the night what's happened? Prakriti comes, material nature, and she takes away our body, is it not? She takes our body away, she takes our mind away, she takes our personality away, ego, and she takes all the world away from us, and we were happy. We were happy without all these things. In the morning, all we have got to say is that it was a good time. We slept well. And we were feeling happy about it. But Krishna is saying here that although all these things are there in the Shastram, if this understanding comes to us, this is where reflection is necessary. Don't understand it on an intellectual level, but make it your awareness also that if it is happening like this in the night, why is that I'm getting disturbed during the day in my vacant state? Because I pulled back everything what Prakriti has taken away. Prakriti came back and gave it to me, everything what she has taken away. The body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, the world, the transactions, everything has come back and I'm disturbed. That's what's happened in the vacant state. So, so Shastram, Vedantam has only one thing to say to us. From this example of deep sleep state, realize this, by giving up and by surrendering, you become closer to the truth. You get to realize the truth by surrendering. Not by puffing up your personality. Not by that. Rather by surrendering, you realize the truth. So, if you surrender, you will escape. If you surrender, you will escape. So, there's only two things here, that some people, they surrender and they come to know about it. Others, they come to know about it and then they surrender. This is the only difference between bhakti and jnanam. This is a very basic principle of the bhakti and jnanam. So, knowing it and then surrendering it is jnanamargam, and surrendering it and knowing about it is bhakti. Simple. Knowing about it, this principle, what about this deep sleep state and what happens there, knowing about it and realizing it, and then you will surrender to it. That is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita also. And then surrendering to it, that is jnanamargam. And knowing about it and then surrendering it is jnanamargam. Surrendering to it and knowing about it is bhakti-margam. Bhakti-margam, isn't it? So, for most of the people, the easier process is to surrender and then to know, rather than to know and then to surrender. Generally, it is like that. First thing is to surrender, because with surrender, you will start knowing this in a deeper level. It has to be known in the consciousness. Knowing does not mean through the intelligence. Knowing means in the realization state. So, knowing something and then surrendering, or surrendering and then knowing about it. And for most of the people, easier process is to surrender and then to know about it, because that's the easier way. Because material nature's swabhavam, prakriti's swabhavam itself is to make us surrender. Have you noticed that? How the material nature works in this world? It forces us to surrender, isn't it? Throughout life, if you look to your own life, you will see that things what you thought you could do, at one stage, prakriti makes you feel that you can't do it anymore. Throughout life, prakriti, material nature, is preparing us for that. So, prakriti's nature is to first to make us surrender and then to know about it. So, so very nature of the prakriti itself is to make us surrender, isn't it? This you will experience more in the householder life. That's the best place to know this in the householder life. Before you starting the householder life, you start thinking that, oh, I'm in control of the situation. But once this householder life starts, then you will know that you're not in control of any situation. Then you just want to survive here. You don't want to control anybody. You just want to survive here. Every one of us know this truth. Only thing is, we won't say this to anybody. Outside we will show everything is going on very nicely. But we know ourselves, within ourselves, that in the Prakriti, you see how Prakriti has done this? She has set up this system that in householder life, you are forced to surrender more. Forced to surrender more, isn't it? A mother, sometimes people, have you noticed this? Women who talks about women's liberation and all that, as soon as they have children, all liberation goes with that. So material nature has forced her to surrender. She has no choice there, isn't it? When for the sake, because she has created this attachment between the mother and the children in such a way that she is willing to tolerate anything for the sake of the children then. And the very person who was talking about women's liberation, this, that and the other, everything disappears overnight. As soon as the children comes in life, the whole philosophy changes. And the man's case also, as soon as family relationship happens, children are born and the family is established, then so many knocks from all sides you have to take it. Isn't it? From the children it will come, from the wife it will come, from the husband it will come, from so many sources it will come. Sometimes those who are grown, even at the old age, when you have son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, even they will come and give you trouble. They'll come and give you trouble. There also you have to keep the mouth shut. So Prakriti forces us to surrender like this. This is the way it is. Prakriti works. So that is why Bhakti Margam is easier in that sense. If you get this principle, that forcefully surrendering, we have to continue. And finally, the whole life becomes nothing but surrender. And you start realizing that this whole life I've been only surrendering. That's what I was doing, nothing else. Nothing else I have done in my life except that I was surrendering to somebody in some time, in some form or the other. So here, here you can see, so when you get to this situation, you can see, initially you are alone, you are thinking that, oh, I don't care for this, I don't care for that. Later on, you will see there are so many forces in this nature to terrorize us. They are terrorizing us all the time. Whether it is husband or wife or children or somebody, in a very subtle level they terrorize you. And then you have no escape route from there. So, so you don't know when they will put their feet on your head. So that's the situation. So this surrendering is such a thing that you cannot live without that. We cannot live that. So the question is, to whom to surrender? That's the only question. So that is why Krishna is saying, that surrender to Krishna, surrender to the truth inside, surrender to the truth inside, Atmani Vedanam. And the more you surrender, it is better. In everywhere, as much as possible. The lower you can surrender, the more it's better. Because when you are surrendering, the benefit is for you, not to the person to whom you have surrendered. You may think like that, so I have surrendered to somebody, so that person is going to take advantage of me. Actually, it is not like that. The more you surrender, actually you are deriving the benefit from that surrender. And you will reach that Anandam state. Anandam is like a bathing in the Ganga river. When we bathe in the Ganga river, we say that we get purified by that, isn't it? So when these thought waves inside, which is made of Abhimana Vritti, Ahankara Vritti, that thought wave, Chitta Vritti inside, and when that comes, and when that keeps on disappearing from inside, we will become more and more perfection inside, will come within us. And every time when this Abhimana Vritti or Ahankara Vritti, that Chitta Vritti comes inside, we get separated from the Akhanda Agasham, infinite space. Because in pure consciousness, there is only one existence, awareness. From that awareness, we are breaking up when false ego comes inside. When any thoughts related to false ego builds up inside, we are distancing ourselves from the that absolute truth, from the space. So similarly, Similarly, the like the waves, it is. Ahankara vritti is like a wave. It goes back into the sea and it transforms again back into water, isn't it? So every time, each wave goes back into the sea and dissolves itself. When the ahankara vritti, false ego, comes, it becomes a wave inside. It's like in the sea, how it happens. Same thing happens inside us. When false ego develops, it comes as a wave. Ahankara comes. And when it goes and dissolves, we feel that perfection inside. We feel the perfection inside. So, you can always say that I am the biggest wave in this world and stay like this. But if you surrender everything, you come back to your normal state of the sea. So, therefore, what is the way to bring this abhimanam or the pride inside down? That is what Krishna is saying here. The place where that abhimanam or pride takes birth and the place where it dissolves, Krishna says here, that is what it says, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe. That's place. That's where it is happening. Ahankaram happens in that hriddesham. Hrit. Hridayam, isn't it? It's called hrit. From their heart came, the word heart came from that hrit. Hriddesham. That is where this false ego takes birth. And that's the same place where the false ego dissolves. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. And what does Krishna says next verse? Tameva sharanam gacha. There you surrender, he says. Tameva sharanam gacha. In that aham or in awareness, that's where you have to surrender. That's where you have to surrender. Surrender does not mean that you pay your obeisances every day to yourself, every morning getting up and saying, I'm surrendering to you. That's not what it means. It means that every time that ahamvritti comes up, ahankaram comes up, immediately you should know that ahankaram abhimanavritti has come from there, and asking that question, who is experiencing it, who is having this experience, and able to pull that back into it and surrender there. That is the process. So, and Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Krishna is present in everyone's heart. And in the sushupti state, in the deep sleep state, that mind dissolves, isn't it? Mind dissolves. And that is why, if you look into Mandukya Upanishad, it's a very small Upanishad. There is only 2 pages. That's all that Upanishad is. It's very small Upanishads. But it is one of the famous Upanishads which talks about sushupti. So there it says here, where you don't experience any dreams, where you have no desires, and where there is happiness, you are going there in the deep sleep state, and you are embracing that person there and sleeping there comfortably. That's what we do in the deep sleep state. What do? We don't have any dreams in that state, in the deep sleep, isn't it? We don't have any dreams there. And we don't have any desires inside us. That is the beauty of that. What Krishna is saying to us in the second chapter, that Ragadvesha vimukteistu vishayan indriyeshan. Another verse he says, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. He says in the second chapter, isn't it? We have to work very hard to get free ourselves from desires, is it not? Whereas if you go into deep sleep state, what's happening? No desires. Imagine that state, how great that state is. No desires, imagine. To stay in this world without a desire. That you are having it in the deep sleep state. So, Mandukyam says here, that state where you have no desires, and that state you don't dream about anything, and not only that, you are saying there was happiness there, and there you are going there to somebody there, and you are holding him very tight and you are sleeping there. When I say you, I'm talking about this false ego in us. Has gone, isn't it? Something has happened there, the deep sleep state. You've gone there and you have experienced great happiness. You met somebody there. Of course, we can't explain that more than that, because what was happening there, you cannot report it. All you know is when you woke up in the morning, there was happiness. That's all you know. After all the transactions in this world, after all the problems in this house, all you want is a good night's sleep, isn't it? If you get a good night's sleep, you can deal with the next day. Otherwise, it's very difficult if it happens day after day after day. So that is why Krishna says here that state, how does Upanishad says, Esha Sarveshwaraha. At that state, you are Sarveshwara. Esha Sarveshwaraha. Esha Sarvajnaha. You know everything at that state. Esha Andaryam Esha Yoni. Sarvasya Prabhavapyahi Bhutanam. Prabhavapyahi Bhutanam. Then, Sarveshwara, Sarvajna, Andaryami, Krishna. Who is in there at that time? When you go there to that place, heart, Hritsane, when you go there, in a natural way, Krishna gives it to us everything at that time in that deep sleep state. In a natural way, He gives it to us. Isn't it? He gives us a hug or an embrace there. And that is what's happening in the deep sleep state. That's what is happening in the deep sleep. We do not know about that because we don't know what is happening. Due to what? Why is that we don't know about it? Because of avidya. Avidya inside. So, there it is. What is mentioned here in the Upanishad says, Yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate. That Sushupti state is beauty. Mandukya Upanishad is saying, na kanchana kamam kamayate. If gold is shown to you, you will say, I don't want it. And no desires are coming and bothering you in that stage. Na kanchana supnam pashyati. You don't have any dream in that state. Tadaha sushuptam. That is that Sushupti state. If Mandukya Upanishad, which is such a small Upanishad, is using a few verses to discuss the Sushupti like this. Imagine the Rishi, Mandukya Rishi, who has compiled Mandukya Upanishad, how important, how much deeply he must have absorbed in that Sushupti state to explain that. Na kanchana kamam yatra sushupto, na kanchana kamam kamayade, na kanchana sopnam pashyadi tada sushuptam. Sushupta sthanam eki bhudaha. What is another beauty of the Sushupti state? Eki bhudaha. There is not many, there is only one. Isn't it? You don't know that there are so many entities in this creation at that stage. And that solves all the problem. Why? Because when there is two, you have fear from the other. Dvandvam comes, isn't it? We have millions and billions of living entities and we have fear of each other, everybody. We have fear individual level, we have fear in a state level, country level, in so many levels. One country is fearful of another country. And one group of people is fearful of another group of people. Like this, there is fear everywhere. Where is this fear? It is in us because we have this eki bhudaha. What we experience in the Sushupti state doesn't have. Therefore, we are experiencing that. So he says here that Sushupta sthana, yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate. All these are very important to study Sushupti. If you keep all these things bearing in your mind and analyze Sushupti every day, all these disturbances of the waking state will go away. It won't disturb you unnecessarily. Because what we do is, we study this on an intellectual level. And then you say, oh, I heard all these things before. And you will leave it there. You won't bother about it. And therefore, when the next wave comes in the vacant state, you can't deal with it. You are struggling there. You find it difficult. Why? Although you heard all these things, you didn't take it seriously. That's the problem. And that's what he says here. Particularly those who are going after the Upanishads, they normally memorize all these things to such an extent that that's what their strength behind it. Because this is the truth. Rishis have given us the truth. We don't want to accept it. Our main problem is that we want to be religious. That's the problem. There are two types of atheists in this world. Two types of atheists in this world. One type who completely denies the existence of God. They believe that God doesn't exist. And they won't have any interest in spiritual life. They don't want to go to temples or they don't want to do anything in spiritual life. They completely deny the existence of God or existence of Atma, soul, everything. That's one class. They are better class of atheists. There's another class who is worse than them. Do you know who they are? The ones who goes to the temple and who will do deity worship, but who will not listen anything what Krishna is saying. They are the bigger atheists. These are more dangerous ones. These ones who will go to the temple and they will see and they will go to all the holy places and they will do everything, but they will not hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. They are more dangerous atheists than the first one. This lot. because these ones, because it is really offensive to Krishna when Krishna has told us something very seriously, and that too before departing from this world spoke to Uddhava, and in the Kurukshetram spoke to Arjuna, such precious knowledge to be utilized in this life, and instead of completely rejecting it and thinking that I am religious and I am spiritual by going to the temple without studying Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, simply absorbed in the deity worship, thinking that, oh, I don't need Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. That's all for others. I don't need it. I'm doing deity worship. They are the biggest atheists. I'm telling you, it is like that. Vedantam very strong about this point. If you do not take this, this is not to criticize deity worship. This is not to criticize any other activities, chanting or anything. But without taking the message seriously, simply thinking that I can survive through this life and I am perfect in spiritual life, they are the biggest atheists, because they are not only misleading themselves, they are misleading others as well in that process. Those who are stuck in that. There are many people like that, because they think that I am doing deity worship. I don't need to listen to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavad Gita because I am doing deity worship. There's so many. You will always notice these people. You don't see them hearing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. They have no interest in that. But they have put themselves up in that state, thinking that they are the authorities in spiritual life. That is very risky, very dangerous also. So here, Sushupta Sthanam Eki Bodha. Why does Krishna has given us all these things? Krishna has taken so much effort in the sense that to speak Bhagavad Gita, bringing together Patanjali's Yogam, Kavala Maharshi's Sankhyam, Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam, and all the Upanishads, and to brought this package and gave it to Arjuna in the battlefield to give some life to Arjuna when Arjuna was depressed. Is it not? Equally, when Uddhava was leaving this world, Krishna was leaving this world, Uddhava cried to Krishna and asked him to take him away from this world. And Uddhava says, that please take me with you, isn't it? Krishna says, no, follow this. This is what he said. And gave him Ekadasha Skandam knowledge to him. And Uddhava has been a close associate of Krishna all the way through. In spite of that, Krishna says to Uddhava, take this message first and then come back to me. That is the way he likes it. Krishna wants us to follow what he taught us. But we discard everything. We don't want to hear anything about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Rather, we'll stay with our deity worship or whatever we think is important. Or among those people also, you will see there are people who will say to the deity what they want in their life. In other words, use the deity for their own sense gratification. They are the bigger atheists than the other one. The other one is very straightforward at least. They say to you that I don't believe in any of these things. The whole thing, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad, it's all making sense to me. I don't believe in that. At least he leaves it like that. The other ones, they take that they are the bigger Nastikas. Nastik. These two types of Nastiks are there in the world. One who forthright reject the Shastram, and the other one, they will take some things and use the temples and the deities for their livelihood or for their to show their religiosity to the world. But as far as the message is concerned, they won't take it seriously. So that's Eki Budha Prajnanaganam Eva Anandamayo. That Prajnanam state, Prajnanaganam, what Prajnanam state, that Prajna state in the Sushupti state, Prajnanaganam, what is happening there? Anandamayaha. Anandamayaha. Jnana Anandabhok Chedo Mukaha Prajna Tridiya Padaha. That third stage, Prajna Prajnan, which is called in the Sushupti state. Vishwan Tajasam Prajnam. That Prajnam state, Tridiya Padaha, that stage, that's what is happening there. So here what did we see? That there is no, Mandukyam says, there is no dreams there, there is no desires there. And there is a great sense of happiness there when you came out from that. And what you have experienced there, that deep sleep state, that is what has happened. We are not aware of all these things. And consciously, if that state happens, consciously, if you are able to surrender like that, the proof of that is Shastram. Shastram is the pramanam for that. Now Krishna is saying here, you are taking birth and you are surrendering also in me. That's what Krishna says, isn't it? In that words, aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartade. That's all Krishna is saying there. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartade. Everything has come from me. You have come from me. In the earlier words he has said, you have come from me. So he says here, you are taking birth in me, you are staying in me, eventually you are dissolving in me. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam. Sarvam means what? You have to understand what that word sarva means. Sarva means the mind. It's the mind that sarvam is referring to. The mind was born from the aham, awareness, isn't it? From awareness the mind was born. And in awareness that mind is active. And in awareness the mind dissolves. See the subtlety of that? What Krishna is saying? This verse is not... See, normally people read that verse and what do they say? Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartade idhi matva bhajandema buddha bhava samanvidaha. We are happy if we know, if we simply say that, oh, we have come from, I am the source, Krishna is saying I am the source of everything, and we will repeat the same thing. But how does it happen? It happens in this way. From awareness came the mind. And in awareness, that mind is functioning. And in awareness, the mind dissolves, which you can see in the night. In the morning when we wake up, from awareness, the mind has come. And the whole day, the mind is staying in the awareness. That's when you experience the world. And in the night, in the deep sleep, what happens? The mind goes and dissolves in the awareness again. That is what that word aham sarvasya prabhavo means. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam. Matta sarvam pravartate. Everything is working in that principle. Sarvam means the mind. Pravartate, it is operating. It is operating. So because when the mind was born, everything was born, isn't it? Mind was born, you were born, ego was born, the world was born, all your activities were born, and then all other designations were born, man, woman, then Indian, American, European, all these kind of designations, that was all born from the mind. So, and in the deep sleep state, this sarvam goes away. Sarvam, what has come in the vacant state, sarvam disappears in the vacant state, isn't it? So, when the mind has woken up, when the mind took birth from aham, it started coming through the senses to the world outside, isn't it? So, when the mind has woken up from the awareness, aham, and it started coming through the senses to the world, we get to know about the world. That is simple, isn't it? In the morning, that's how it starts, the whole thing. And then we come to know about many objects in this world. And similarly, when the mind goes back and dissolves inside, this sarvam goes away. Sarvam is not there anymore, isn't it? And variety has gone away at that time. So when the mind wakes up, everything wakes up. And when the mind dissolves, everything dissolves. Everything dissolves. So, the place where that mind takes birth and dissolves itself, whatever the truth that is existing there, that truth is called Krishna. That truth is called Krishna, or in other words, Ishvara. That's what that verse is referring to. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartade. From the place where that mind was born, and which throughout the vacant state got busy with the world, and if eventually when the mind goes back and dissolves at that place where it was born and where it got dissolved, that place, there is a truth there. And that Satta, it is called Satta. You will see that word Devaki, Vasudeva and all using that in their prayers to Krishna. Satta matram nirvishesham niriham. In the Bhagavadam you will see. Satta, it is called Satta. That essence, what is there inside at that time, that is called Ishvara or Krishna. Ishvara or Krishna. So, and the same thing is called in another place, it's called Narayana. By another name, it is called Narayana. Pipalayana Maharshi mentions this in the Bhagavadam. If you look in the 11th canto, you will see there. in the third chapter, verse 35. పిపలాయన ఉవాచం స్థితుల్భవ ప్రళయహేతురహేతురస్య యల్ స్వప్నజాగర సుషుప్తిషు సల్ బహిశ్చ దేహేంద్రియాసు హృదయాని చరంది యేన సంజీవితాని తదవేహి పరం నరేంద్ర. దట్ వర్స్ స్థితి ఉల్భవం ప్రళయం హేతు అహేతురస్య దట్ ఇస్ దట్ అహం దట్ అవేర్నెస్ ఈస్ ది సోర్స్ ఇస్ ఇన్ స్థితి ఉల్భవం ప్రళయం. Sthiti means, Ulbhava means taking birth. Sthiti means to stay in that state. And Pralayam means dissolution. Where is all this happening? The cause of all this, Pralaya hedurahe durasya yad swapna jagara sushuptishu sad bahishchaham dehendriyasu hridayani charandiyena sanjeevidani tadavehi param narendra. దేహేంద్రియాసు హృదయాని చరందియేన దట్ హృదయం దట్ ప్లేస్ వేర్ దిస్ ఈస్ హ్యాపనింగ్ సంజీవితాని తదవేహి పరం నరేంద్ర హీ సేస్ హియర్. సో క్వశ్చన్ వాస్ ఆస్క్డ్ దేర్ ది కింగ్ నిమి ఆస్క్ ద క్వశ్చన్ హూ ఇస్ నారాయణ దట్ వాస్ ద క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్ ఇన్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ది నిమి నవయోగి సంవాదం ఇన్ దట్ కాన్వర్సేషన్ బిట్వీన్ నిమి అండ్ నవయోగీస్ Nimi asked a question, who is Narayana? That was the question. The answer is given like this. Sthiti ulbhavam pralaya hedur ahedurasya yal svapna jagara susuptishu sad bahischa dehendriyasu hridayani charandiyena sanjeevidani tadavehi param Narendra. So, Piplayana Maharshi says here that whom you call as Narayana, it is in him this srishti, sthiti, samharam, all this is happening. That means creation, sustenance and dissolution. All this is happening in that Narayana. And what is that Narayana? That aham, awareness. Isn't it? Sthityulbhava pralayahetu. So, if from one thing another thing was born, then the first thing is called hetu. Hetu, the cause, the hetu. So, just like if you look at the cinema screen, is anything happening in the screen? Nothing is happening in the screen. Only the light is falling on the screen, isn't it? Only light is falling on the screen, that's all. Similarly, in Narayana or in Krishna, all this creation and the different names and forms, Prapancham and Namarupam, it appears as though it's all happening in him. In him. In Narayana. But in reality, nothing has happened in him. Nothing has happened in him. That is why it says, Stithulbhava pralaya hetu, although he is the cause, ahetu, it is not happening in him. That's how the verse is. Pralaya hetu ahetu rasya. That is why ahetu rasya it's called. It appears as though it's all happening in that Narayana, but nothing is happening in him. It's all happening. Just like the screen example. The film is there. The light is there. The screen is there. Projector. Through the projector, you're projecting the film, isn't it? Behind that there's a light. If you look at the screen is as it is all the time. Nothing has changed. These things comes and goes in the screen. Based on your vasanas there and based on the light. Similarly, in our life also, Krishna is there inside, awareness is there. Our vasanas there coming and going, the mind is there and we are experiencing, we are busy with the mind and the vasanas. Hedu, we are forgetting that. That's because he is ahetu-rasya. He is not responsible for it. He has nothing to do with it. Like the screen has nothing to do with it. Screen is just able, screen is stationary there. Nothing is happening in the screen. Whether so many movies have been shown or not, the screen remains the same. ഇറ്റ്സ് ദ സെയിം റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ. സ്ഥിതി, ഉത്ഭവം, പ്രളയം, ഹേതു, ഓൾ ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കോസ്ഡ് ബൈ ദി 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 സ്ഥിതി നാരായണ, ബട്ട് അഹേതുരസ്യ ഹി ഈസ് നോട്ട് റെസ്പോൺസിബിൾ, ഹി ഈസ് നോട്ട് റെസ്പോൺസിബിൾ ഫോർ ദാറ്റ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ. സോ നത്തിങ് ഹാസ് ഹാപ്പൻഡ് ഇൻ ഹിം അഹേതു യ സ്വപ്ന ജാഗര സുഷുപ്തിഷു സദ് ബഹിശ്ച ഈസ് ഐസ് ഹിയർ ഈസ് എൻ ഇം. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് ദയർ ഈസ് ഇൻ വെയ്ക്കൻ സ്റ്റേറ്റ് സ്വപ്നം ജാഗര സുഷുപ്തി ദ ത്രീ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്സ്. ഇൻ ദീസ് ത്രീ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്സ് ഈസ് ഐസ് സദ് ബഹിശ്ച നത്തിങ് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ഫോർ ഹിം. ദ സോൾ ഹാസ് നത്തിങ് ടു ഡു വിത്ത് ജാഗ്രത് സ്വപ്നം സുഷുപ്തി ഈസ് ഇറ്റ് നോട്ട്. നത്തിങ് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ടു ഹിം ഇൻ ദി ത്രീ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്സ്. നത്തിങ് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ദയർ. സോ ദയർഫോർ ഈ സൈസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് വസ്തു യ സ്വപ്ന ജാഗര സുഷുപ്തിഷു സദ് ബഹിശ്ച. ദെൻ ഈ സൈസ് ഹിയർ ദേഹേന്ദ്രിയാസു ഹൃദയാനി ചരന്തിയേന സഞ്ജീവിതാനി തദവേഹി പരം നരേന്ദ്ര. ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് വാട്ട് യു ആർ സീയിങ് ഹിയർ ഔട്ട്സൈഡ്, ബോഡി ഈസ് ദെയർ, the mind is there, senses are there, and all these things you are seeing them, but for him inside, like this in the screen the movie is coming and going, similarly for the soul, Atma inside, for Krishna inside, all this body, mind, senses and all other things, senses, all of them has no impact on him. On him, the soul is unaffected by any of those things, but only due to his presence it is all there. Who, which one? Body, mind, senses, they cannot function otherwise, isn't it? They cannot function. Just like if you take the screen away, then the movie cannot be there. Screen is necessary. So that example is very appropriate, that screen is there and all these things are happening on the screen, but screen is unaffected. Similarly, Krishna is there and all these things are happening, body, mind, ego, senses, intelligence, everything, but nothing is happening for aham, awareness, nothing is happening. That is what Krishna is saying in the next line. Idi matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanyita. Knowing these things, and who approaches me with that bhajante mam buddha bhava samanyita, he is situated properly. Because knowing this, that means from that awareness it was born, all these things, body, mind, intelligence, ego and the world, everything was born from that awareness, and it is in that awareness all of these are sustained, and in this awareness that everything is going back, and and that truth awareness is inside me. And knowing that, presence of that awareness inside me is called knowledge. Is called knowledge. So therefore, you can mention here that knowledge or awareness, when you touch that, it is called samadhi. It's called samadhi. Another words used in the Bhagavatam is pratyabhijna. They use this word often, pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means that. Knowing that in whose presence everything is happening, this body, mind, it is functioning in different ways. It's doing so many things in this world, which is called the cheshta, isn't it? Cheshta. Cheshta means it's acting according to how it's being pushed from different sides. So it will react in one way or the other, isn't it? But inside that, awareness is totally independent. But if it is not there, these things won't happen either. So so that awareness, that is called astitvam, pratyabhijna. What is the symptom of that pratyabhijna? Pratyabhijna is that, so all thing is, all it does is, this awareness does is, that astitvam. Astitvam means that you are conscious of your existence. Astitvam. If you are not conscious of your existence, how will you know about the world? How will you know about others? How will you know about the transactions? So even in all transactions in this world, all your day-to-day dealings, from birth to death, if the awareness is not there, it doesn't exist. Your transactions don't exist. You see, because the awareness is there, you are able to open a bank account. Because the awareness is not, awareness is there that you are able to operate the bank account. Suppose you have no awareness, you open a bank account, what will happen? Imagine that state. It is impossible to even conceptualize of staying without awareness, isn't it? Without your identity. The identity is the only thing what we have got, awareness. So that, so always that awareness is not a chittavritti. That's another important thing. It's not a chittavritti. Chittavritti is the other thoughts that's coming. But awareness is not a chittavritti. When we learn to move away, at the moment we are in the world of chittavritti, isn't it? We identify with the mind and we live in the mind. Most of the time we are in the mind, isn't it? Because remember, we told about two things, identification of the mind, that's one problem, and also the mind is controlled by external forces. Two things. This is what is called material existence. Remember, we discussed that last Sunday. That what is mind means? Mind, the interesting thing about the mind is, the whole thing is controlled from outside. Whole thing is controlled from outside, which we are not conscious of. All other people, they control my mind. All other objects, they control my mind. Isn't it? The outside world has a total control on my mind. How I create emotions inside, ragadvesham inside, and all other lust, anger, greed, everything inside, it happens, it is in resonance with the things outside. Is it not? So the world outside is controlling your mind, and you have no control over the world. This is the sad thing. That, and then you are thinking, what should I do with my mind? Because you are not conscious that everything, the mind is controlled from outside. In every stage, it's controlled from outside. You are on, there are few factors, but the main factor is the world outside. That's what's controlling your mind. That's why, that's one factor. Second factor, you have gone and identified with the mind. And you are trying to find a solution to the problem of the mind with the mind itself. There the whole problem started. So, identification with the mind and the external factors which controls the mind, these two things is called material existence. When we say samsaram, in Vedantam is this. Samsara dhavan analitha loka tranaya karunya kanaganatvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. That samsaram, samsaram means this. So samsaram means this mind which is controlled by the world outside along with the our false identification with the mind. And Krishna is saying to us, this is what that Bhikshu Gita is all about. About 15-20 verses of Bhikshu Gita is nothing but about studying this mind. So that individual soul in awareness, which is full of eternal blissful and full of knowledge, there is no black mark there. There is no any kind of black spot in that. That's pure. That thing is very, very pure. And that thing, whether you're a wicked person or you're a very good person, or whether you're a snake or you're a lizard, it doesn't matter, or a rat or a tiger, doesn't matter. It is the same in everyone. Which one? That awareness inside the soul. So that is the reason that realized soul, they cannot insult anybody. They cannot insult anybody because they know very well that the same awareness what is in them is that same awareness in the other living entities also. In the other living entities also. For example, we will now say, we discriminate now that, we will protect the cows, but we will not care for the hogs or the dogs or anything like that, isn't it? But when realization comes, that will change. It is only now we have that towards the different species. We have different understanding of relationship with them, isn't it? Cow, we say, because it's Vedic, we'll protect the cow. And the other one is not Vedic, we'll kick them because it's not Vedic. So this is our lower understanding. But when self-realization happens, when this very higher state comes in life, then all those things disappears. So therefore, everything is Atma, Atma Swarupam, that comes to them. So because that experience you have in a Sushupti state, isn't it? This experience is there in the Sushupti. In Sushupti, there is no hog, no dog, no cow, no elephant, nothing. All living entities, all same. It is in the Sushupti, isn't it? So in Sushupti state, the experience of the soul is present. And that is also the same experience in the Samadhi state. Samadhi state. So when did we get into the bondage? When does the bondage come? When we wake up from that state and we start doing our transactions in this world, Vyavaharam starts, at that time bondage begins. You see? We all know this, isn't it? The problem is all in the Vyavaharam. It's not in the deep sleep state. Deep sleep state, we don't have any problem. All problems solved. It's only in the vacant state that when you are in the transaction state that you are experiencing all the problem. So in other words, bondage, what we talk about bondage is in liberation bondage. When is the bondage? Bondage is when you wake up from the Sushupti state and when you start your Vyavaharam, that is when bondage begins. So therefore, you will see one thing in the Shaririya Bhashyam of the Bhagavad Gita. Ajari Swamiji wrote there, Sushupti state, Samadhi state and unconscious state. All the three states. Sushupti, Samadhi and Murcha, all of them belongs to one category. All of them belongs to one category. What you experience in Sushupti, you experience in Samadhi also. And the same thing you experience in Murcha. Murcha means this unconscious state. Isn't it? Sometimes, just like when you are taken for an operation in the hospital, they inject thing on your body, isn't it, to make you unconscious. At that time, what's happening there, in that unconscious state? You can see there also, when you are totally unconscious, and then after the operation is over, and then when you come back to life again, when they wake you up, they call you by name or something, nurses and doctors who are next to you, they will bring you back into their world again, isn't it? Get you back. At that time also, you feel that you had a good time. It was a nice time in that unconscious state. So these three states, okay, when you come to awakened state, because you have to deal with the world again, you think that, oh, I have come back. You feel a great relief thinking that I have come back. But actually you don't know that you have come back to the wrong place again. To start the whole thing again. Doctors have sometimes removed part of your body. They won't even tell you that they have taken it out from you. And you say, oh, everything is cured now, you are fine now. Take these tablets for next 30 days, you'll be alright. Go home now. They send you home. But later on, much later, you realize that things have changed inside the body because part of it has been taken out. That happens sometimes. There are certain cases, situations like that. So, what's important here is Sushupti, Samadhi and Murcha. Murcha means this unconscious state. They are all categorized into one because the experience in all the three is the same. In all the three is the same. And it is an amazing thing in the commentary that that in all these three states, you are experiencing Brahman. Brahman realization is there in all the three states, isn't it? And all of that is knowledge or self-realization. You can forget self-realization. Knowledge is there in that state. So why? Because in none of those three states, you have bondage, isn't it? In the vacant state, you have bondage. You feel, I am in bondage, I am bound by the body, I am bound by the mind, I am bound by the intelligence, I am bound by the ego, I am bound by the senses, I am bound by my desires, I am bound in a gross level with the other members in the family, with the society, with the country. In so many ways you are bound. But in these three states, Sushupt, Samadhi and Murcha. Murcha means that unconscious state. In these three states, you have no bondage. You have no bondage. That's the beauty of that three states. That is why that is why it says here that we have the platform of the mind, which is called Manomandalam, and then we have the platform of the intelligence, ബുദ്ധി, ബുദ്ധിമണ്ഡലം. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ വി ഹാവ് ദി പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം ഓഫ് വ്യവഹാരം, ട്രാൻസാക്ഷൻസ്, വ്യവഹാരമണ്ഡലം, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് കോൾഡ്. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ദീസ് ത്രീ പ്ലെയിൻസ് ഓൺലി യു ഹാവ് ബോണ്ടേജ്. നോർമലി വി ടോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ലിബറേഷൻ ആൻഡ് ബോണ്ടേജ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? വേർ ഈസ് ദ ബോണ്ടേജ്? ഇൻ ദീ ത്രീ പ്ലെയിൻസ് ഓൺലി. വിച്ച് വൺ? ദ പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം ഓഫ് ദ മൈൻഡ്, മെൻ്റൽ പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം, യു ഹാവ് ബോണ്ടേജ്. പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം ഓഫ് ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ്, യു ഹാവ് ബോണ്ടേജ്. ആൻഡ് ഓൾസോ ഇൻ ദി പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം ഓഫ് ദി വ്യവഹാരം, ട്രാൻസാക്ഷൻസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, യു ഹാവ് ബോണ്ടേജ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? സോ ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ദോസ് പ്ലേസ്, ത്രീ ഫേസസ്, ത്രീ മണ്ഡലം ഓർ ത്രീ ഫേസസ്, വെയർ ഫോൾസ് ഈഗോ, പ്രൈഡ്, എവറിത്തിങ് ഹൈഡിങ് ദർ. ദർ ഹൈഡിങ് ഇൻ ദീസ് ത്രീ പ്ലെയിൻസ് ഓൺലി. സോൾ ഡസൻറ്റ് ഹാവ് എനി ഫോൾസ് ഈഗോ. ദീസ് ഹസ് കം ഓൺലി ഇൻ ദീസ് ത്രീ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്സ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വെൻ യു ആർ എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ദ ഫേസ് ഓഫ് ദ മൈൻഡ്, ഓർ ഇൻ ദി ബുദ്ധി, ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ്, ഓർ ഇൻ ദി വ്യവഹാരം സൈസ്. സോ വെൻ ദാറ്റ്, വെൻ യു ആർ വോക്കൺ അപ്പ്, when you are woken up from that and you realizes that it is Brahman, who, that means when self realization has happened and that same experience in the deep sleep state has permeated into the vacant state, then it, what is known as sarvam kalidam brahma, that Upanishad statement that comes at that point, sarvam kalidam brahma tad jalan shantam upasita, Shruti says tad jalan shantam upasita. In other words, everything what you see here is Brahman. Everything is happening in that awareness and it is staying in that awareness and eventually it goes back into that awareness, isn't it? And that state perform upasana there, in that state. That means knowing this is important and becoming aware of this, that when we experience this vyavaharam in this world, when we experience all the namarupam in this world, when you experience your own body and the bodily problems and problem of the mind, mental problems, intelligence, ego, all of these things together are happening in the background of that awareness, isn't it? Awareness. Krishna is saying, sarvam khalidam brahma. Because all these things have come from Brahman, that awareness inside, everything is from Brahman. Tad jalan shantam upasita. Knowing this, execute your upasana in that way. Upasana in that way. That is what it is says here. Shantam, shantam upasita. Shantam upasita means, that means, first of all, shantam, this word shantam upasita, why Upanishad says like that, is, first of all, in your vyavaharam first, that's where you have to begin. Try to bring it down. Little by little, bring down the vyavaharam in this world. Otherwise, spiritual life is not possible. If you have a very extended vyavaharam going on in this world, 16, 18, 20 hours vyavaharam in this world, and then you want to progress on the path of spiritual life, that is not possible. That's not possible, because this Upanishad statement is saying, sarvam khalidam brahma tad jalan shantam upasida. Tad jalan shantam upasida means perform your upasana. This is the upasana, not chanting or anything. This upasana means this awareness always keeping yourself to the truth, closer to the truth, which means that all these existence of the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, world, everything is only in my awareness. Awareness is me. അഹം സർവസ്യ പ്രഭവോ മത്ത സർവം പ്രവർത്തതേ ഇതി മത്വ ഭജന്തേ മാം ബുദ്ധാഭാവ സമന്വിതാഹ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് മീൻസ്. എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ഹാസ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ് ഇൻ ദി അവെയർനെസ് ഹാപ്പൻസ് എവ്രിഥിങ്, ജാഗ്രത് സ്വപ്നം സുഷുപ്തി, എവ്രി തോട്ട് വേവ്സ് ദാറ്റ് കംസ് ഇൻ ദ മൈൻഡ് വിച്ച് ടേക്സ് ബർത്ത്, ഓൾ ദ തോട്ട് വേവ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഓൾ അവർ ട്രാൻസാക്ഷൻസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, thought waves that comes up, that stays for some time, which dissolves itself finally. All that is happening in aham, in that awareness. One who knows this, aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade, all activities of the mind is happening in that awareness. Knowing this, iti matva bhajante mam. Knowing this and becoming fixed in that state. And in order to do that, first we have to minimize our transactions in this world. Restrict it to the very minimum what is necessary. That's what Krishna is saying. And knowing that and executing your sadhana, Buddha Bhava Samanvita. It will have its result will come. That he has understood. Krishna says that that person, that that awareness, that coming back to our pure state of awareness, freeing yourself from the grip of the mind, from the body, and the grip of the world, and the worldly objects and desires, all these things is necessary to come to that state of awareness. If you are active in all the other areas, it is difficult to come closer to this awareness. That's why in the 6th chapter you will see, Krishna mentions there, shanai shanai uparamer, little by little come out of it. You cannot do it overnight, but little by little you should come out of that. Otherwise it cannot happen. Shanai shanai uparamer, he says there. You see, shanai shanai uparamer. Shanai shanai. So how will you remove that? Idimatva bhajan devam buddha bhava samanvita aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartade idimatva bhajan devam buddha bhava samanvitah. What does it mean? Buddha means one who is in knowledge. So as soon as one comes to spiritual life, he has to take this advice on board, that he has to free himself from unnecessary material activities. Unnecessary material activities. And because the world has no importance anymore in that. In the sense that the world is only going to take your attention away from the truth. It will drive you away from there. Create unnecessary thought waves inside. And if there is too many thought waves, it's difficult to pull away from that. Therefore, he says here that that Buddha, people who are in knowledge, Mam bhajande, they worship me. How? Bhava samanyudaha. The word Krishna uses there is bhava samanyudaha. Because it is the bhavam that spoils a person. Bhavam that spoils a person. This is an important thing. For example, let's look at it this way. People are in three modes of material nature. Isn't it? Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, three modes of nature. And people worship different deities under different modes. Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Some people worship certain deities in totally in Tamogunam, isn't it? But they also worship. Like certain deities are worshipped with alcohol, meat, everything, offered to the deity, and they worship that. In Rajogunam, you worship in a different way, with a lot of opulence and with a lot of show. And to the world, that big worship is going on. That is Rajogunam. In Sattvagunam, the worship will be full of knowledge. Properly, it will be simple, but it will be in knowledge. It's done in knowledge. That means authenticated by the Shastram and following. And the people who are executing that worship also will be in the mood of goodness. That means they have knowledge. They will execute the worship in the proper way. When you come to the Sattvagunam, two different things happen. This is where the difficulty comes. When you come to Sattvagunam, there is some people who will execute spiritual life in Sattvagunam, but they will do it in a mechanical way. You see, they are in Sattvagunam because by nature they have Sattvagunam in them. Do you understand? There is Sattvagunam in there. So naturally, when there is Sattvagunam in a person, what are the symptoms? He will not entertain any sinful activities. He will keep himself free from all kinds of sinful life plus unwanted things in this world. He will refrain from that. That is the nature of Sattvagunam in a person. Krishna mentioned, discusses Sattvagunam later in the three modes of material nature. Therefore, he will say Prakasham. Prakasham means he has proper understanding inside, that he is very peaceful inside and he lives a peaceful life in this world, undisturbed by anything, and he has this Sattvagunam nature in him. That is in his ingrained nature in that person is Sattvagunam. Sattvagunam. People you will see like that, who have got Sattvagunam in them. They don't get too excited by anything. They are always in a peaceful state and they will not entangle themselves in situation where there is a rajasic activities are going on. They are no interest in that, and always in a very tranquil state they will live in this world. That is the nature of Sattvagunam. But problem there is,
that when they come to that Sattugunam stage, after a while, due to Sattugunam, they will do the worship. But it will be done in a mechanical way. That is not a good thing. That is what Krishna is saying here, that bhava samanyudaha. Bhava samanyudaha means that even though you are doing it in a Sattugunam, it should be combined with bhavam. Otherwise, it will simply become a mechanical process. It will not have the effect. You see that? This is one who has to be careful in Sattugunam. When you come to Sattugunam also, there is problem. It's not that once you come to Sattugunam, all the problem is solved. There are many people who are in Sattugunam. They will do things in Sattugunam, but they'll do it in a mechanical way, which you can see many people. Okay, some people who have developed a spiritual life, reasonably in a spiritual life they live, they do not get involved in any sinful activities. They live peacefully at home with the family members and everyone is peaceful with each other. There is a lot of disturbances. But if you look into them, you will see in their life that they are doing their spiritual activities in a particular way, like in a mechanical way. They'll get up in the morning, 3 or 4 o'clock, whatever times, and they'll bathe and they'll do all other things. They'll do their deity worship like a mechanical thing. They'll chant their holy name in a mechanical way. They'll go to the temple and do everything what they have to do in the temple in a mechanical way. And then they will go home in the evening in a mechanical way. And they're thinking that, oh, I've done everything. That's not good enough. That's what Krishna is saying here, that buddha bhava samanyvidaha, that bhavam has to come inside. But bhavam has to come in your activities. If the bhavam is not there, even though you are in sattugunam, it is not good enough. It's not good enough. So, idhimatva bhajandeyamam buddha bhava samanyudaha. Because this bhavam has two things. If the bhavam is good, it will go well. But it is the same bhavam that creates ragadvesham also inside. Isn't it? Bhavam creates the ragadvesham inside. So, bhavam has this difficulty. Bhavam brings all sorts of problems also. Because for a jnani, for a realized soul, in the samadhi state, or in the sushupti state, or in his self-realized state, what he is experiencing is one and the same thing. It's a very finer thing, all these things. For a jnani, for a realized soul, for him, in his samadhi state, when he is in samadhi state, or in his deep sleep state, or when he is in his identification with the self, Sarupasthiti, in all these things, what he is experiencing is the same. There is no difference. That's the point. What he is experiencing is what is called Chidvastu. Chidvastu. That's how it is called. Chidvastu means Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is what he is experiencing in that state. And it is from that Chidvastu or Chit Shakti, mind, intelligence, all these things have come. Mind, intelligence, and the senses. And through them, Vyavaharam has come for him. For the Jnani we are talking about. From that Chidvastu, he is in that state. Which one? In that state of realization, for him, all that Chidvastu, that is what is coming through him. That means, he, although in deep sleep state, what he is experiencing, because there, for us, in vacant state and deep sleep is a big difference for us, is it not? I think you'll agree with that. our deep sleep and our vacant state is totally different, is it not? But for them, in the vacant state, deep sleep, what they are experiencing, it's the same state they are, consciousness they have in the vacant state also. And they know very well, all what has happened is, in the vacant state, the mind and the senses, other things have come out from that Chidvastu inside. They are in relationship, identification with that Chidvastu. Oh, that mind is born from that Chidvastu, and through the senses, it has started conducting its vyavaharam in this world, and he'll know about that. So, because he knows that the source of that mind and source of all its activities, vyavaharam, it's all very divine, he knows. Because why? He knows that the mind has come from the Chit Shakti, Chidvastu. So, and here, there is no other thing except that divine thing. That is what really there. Which one? The Chit Shakti or Chidvastu, that is inside. So, that is why, if you remember, these words, that Ishavanishad, what it said, Ishavasimidam Sarvam. That verse is coming from there. This understanding. Ishavasam idam sarvam yad kinja jagatyam jagat tena tektuena bunjida maghrida kasya siddhanam. That Ishavasam idam sarvam is coming from that. From that state. That when the jnani realized the soul, when he is, for him in sushupti state, vacant state, and when he is samadhi state or in realized state, it's all the same. Always it's the same state. Experience is in the consciousness, awareness. He is in the awareness. He is not working in his mind or brain or anything. But he knows the mind has taken birth from there, and through the senses it has started dealing with the world outside. So conscious he is inside. So finer realization inside. That he knows the mind, and he knows that this mind that has come from inside, it has gone out and it is doing all these things, and that mind is also a divine thing. Why? The source is divine. The source is divine. So what has come from that source also is divine. So therefore, all his transactions in this world also is without any reactions. In other words, without any reactions. When you have ragadvesham inside, and with the ragadvesham in the mind, when you react with the world outside, it creates confrontation, isn't it? Agitation in the mind of others. That's why when we see a snake, we have a problem. When we see a dog, we have a problem. When we see an elephant, we have a problem. All this is why ragadvesham is inside us. Ragadvesham is inside us. Whereas if ragadvesham has completely gone away from there, Atma Swarupam like the jnani has, then the snake won't disturb us, the dogs won't disturb us, or any other living entity will disturb us. So here, what Upanishad says is, Ishavasamidam Sarvam, Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat. Cover everything with Ishvara, with Krishna. Cover the world with Ishvara. That is how Upanishad says. Upanishad is saying, cover the world with Ishvara. What we are doing is, we are covering Ishvara with the world. Exactly opposite. We have got so many funny understanding about Ishvara. We are thinking we have to hand over everything to, we are covering Ishvara with the world. That's what we are doing now. Instead, Krishna is saying, Upanishad is saying to us, cover the world with Ishvara. Ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. He says like that. So, because we don't know how to cover the world with Ishvara. That's the problem. We know how to cover Ishvara with the world. That we know. Nobody has to tell us that. How to do it. Very nicely we'll do it. How to cover Ishvara with the world, isn't it? This one person was saying this, that you know, in Mumbai, there is a shortage of space always, isn't it? Mumbai is very tight for the space. Okay, now recent times, last 10-15 years, Mumbai has grown big. And a lot of developments have happened, and a lot of multi-story buildings keep on growing all around in all directions. And other cities have also started growing. But while ago, Mumbai was a very difficult place to get some space to live. About 40-50 years ago, Mumbai was very difficult. It was so expensive. People were struggling to find a place to stay. Unless you are so rich that you could buy some apartments. Otherwise, it was so difficult for an ordinary person who comes to Mumbai to find a place to live. It was like that. So he was telling that he went to Mumbai. And he had a friend there. This man went from the village. And he had a friend there in the in Mumbai, living somewhere in a very tight situation, in a one room. He was living. He had the bathroom, kitchen, living room, bedroom, everything, this one room. He was struggling hard to survive there. I have also seen that in Mumbai, some places are like that. It's very, very difficult to get a space anywhere there. So difficult. So he went there. So when he went there, this friend of him told him that I do my deity worship at home. So you should come there. And this person who went from the village, he was doing deity worship in his village temple. In a temple. So the man from the Mumbai, when he comes to the village, he goes to this temple and he had some friendship with the pujari there. So when the pujari happened to go to Mumbai, and when he went to Mumbai, this person said to the pujari that you should come and I have deities at home. Please offer some flowers and make some offering to the deity at our place. Because he found that pujari was a reasonably good person, so he wanted to invite him. And so he went there, and this man, he writes about this later. He says there that he went there and very, 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 very small flat, no space for anything. When he looked inside, he was thinking, where is he doing the deity worship in this little room? He has got room, then he has got the bathroom, is a curtain he has put, you can enter into the bathroom. And kitchen is a table he pulls out from somewhere from the wall, and he was cooking there. And then he pushes the wall back, everything. Then he looked around, there's no symptom of anything, any possibility of doing any deity worship there. So he went there in the evening at about 7 o'clock or so, and he wanted to come back by about 8:30, a couple of hours he wanted to spend with him and come back and satisfy his request to offer the flowers and the offering to the deities. So he sat there in the room, and his friend was also sitting there, and they were just talking about various things, and they talked about everything, and he mentioned that how difficult it is to find space in Mumbai, and so many things they discussed each other. And finally this person was getting impatient, who has gone from the village. He says, where is he going to, when is this deity worship, what he's going to talk about? So he says here, it is time for me to go, he said, I have to go. He said, where is the deities, where do you do the worship? So that man says, oh, I've forgotten, he says, for which I've invited you, forgotten that. And then what he did was, he pulled his television back, and behind that there were the deities there. Behind that, there were the deities there. In other words, his deity worship, because there is no space inside, what he has done, he has got an almirah, cabinet-like thing, in that the deities are there, and in front of that he has kept the television. So when he wants to do the deity worship, he will pull this television off from there and do the deity worship and cover it back with the television again. This is how tight that situation is there. So what he has done is, he has covered Krishna with the television. So so if you cover television with your deity worship, it's not wrong. But if you cover deity worship with television, that's wrong. That is what this verse is also talking about. Ishavasam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Cover the world with Krishna. Ishavasim idam sarvam. Isn't it? So, therefore, cover the world with Krishna. Don't cover Krishna with the world. Don't cover Krishna with the world. That's what he's saying here. So, so this is what we are doing. So, we have covered Krishna with the world. Covered Krishna with the world. How does that happen? How do we cover Krishna with the world? That's very easy to explain that, isn't it? We bring all our material understanding in our relationship with Krishna. That is how we cover Krishna with the world. Our material society, social rules, social etiquette, and social activities, everything we bring into the spiritual life, and we cover Krishna with our social life. That is what that is. And once we start doing that, Krishna keeps shrinking inside. He finds it difficult to stay there, seeing our spirituality, and he leaves. He doesn't want to stay there anymore. So, so with the understanding of the soul, Atma, with the understanding of the soul, that understanding, the Atma, that Buddhi, that intelligence has gone away. So, with the intelligence of Atma, the intelligence of the world has to go. That's what it means. That means, our buddhi, at the moment, our intelligence is in the world, isn't it? But with the development of the knowledge of the soul, Atma, that buddhi, we have to cover this buddhi of the world, intelligence of the world. Jagat. Jagat has to go. Atma has to take over there. Atma has to take over there. They give this example. You know, this sandalwood. Sandalwood, by nature, it's very good smell. Isn't it? Sandalwood has a good smell. But if you put the sandalwood in water for some time, it will start smelling very bad. It will start smelling very bad. Because, and if you take out from water that sandalwood, and again if you start rubbing it in the stone, again that good smell of the sandalwood start coming back. Similarly, in the same way, similarly, our inherent nature of the soul is very divine. No, soul is very divine nature. It has no contamination. But because it has been put into this body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, it starts smelling. It starts smelling. And then what comes? All this bad smell in the form of lust, anger, greed, desires, attachment, aversion. All sorts of things is coming out through us in that way. But our pure nature, spiritual nature, it is free from all these kind of things. Why? Because as soon as you, knowledge is inside everybody, realization is also there, and that experience is also there. But when it comes out through the mind, through the senses, immediately duality comes. Dvaitam comes, and ragadvesham comes, and in a natural way, that spiritual state, spiritual consciousness goes away. Spiritual consciousness goes away. And in order to bring that back is satsangam. Satsangam, what happens is, just like the sandalwood you are rubbing again and again to get its pure smell back. In the same way, continuously hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen is, little by little, that ragadvesham and kartratva bhoktratvam, lust, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all these things will go away, and the pure nature of our individual self will come out from that. Otherwise, there is no other way it can happen. So, so shravanam, manana, nididhyasanam, that is the process. And that, so that, therefore, once we know, when you go through this process and proper mananam and proper nididhyasanam, what will happen is, this chidvastu inside, what is inside us, its prakasham, its illumination will come out. And that experience that everything is Krishna's manifestations. So, in order to do that, Krishna is going to talk about that sadhana process for that in the next verses. First, what did Krishna do? Krishna spoke the tattvam here. Isn't it? Starting from janmadyase yataha. That is that word Krishna has concluded in this verse. That word janmadyase yataha in the Brahma Sutram, second sutram is this. Which one? Janmadyase yataha. Brahma Sutram, there are totally 555 sutrams like this. First sutram is adhato brahma jnyasa. Second sutram is this janmadyase yataha. And then like that it goes on, and that is expanded, and that is the famous Bhashyams on the Brahma Sutram. And Brahma Sutram Bhashyam is very famous. All of them, all acharyas have commented on the, expanded on the Brahma Sutra Bhashyam. So that Brahma Sutra Tattvam is that in the Brahma Sutram. The sutrams are, Tattvam is in the form of sutram there. So Janmadyase Yataha is the sutram. And that sutram Krishna has brought to Bhagavad Gita from Brahma Sutram, and that is what is called this Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matha Sarvam Pravartade Idi Matva Bhajandema Buddha Bhava Samanyuta. So this verse, what we have just seen, is this verse is an expansion of that sutram in the Brahma Sutram. So here, and you can see here, everything is divine. That is what Upanishads are telling us. There is nothing impure here. What we call as impurities is coming from the mind. And the mind is a force that has come from Chit Shakti. But in our natural state, which Sushupti shows to us, these impurities don't exist in us. Is it not? And if that state, what you experience in the Sushupti, if it comes to the vacant state, you are free from the effect of this mind. your escape from that. So everything is divine as far as the source is concerned. Everything is divine, and it is coming from the divine source, isn't it? Why? It's coming from Aham. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. That's why Krishna is saying that. To show to us that the source where it's coming from is very divine. It's not contaminated, it's pure. And it's very divine. Which one? Aham. That awareness. Because it is very divine, therefore, this it is from that source everything has come. So, in other words, everything has come from Ishvara. That source is Ishvara addressed as. Therefore, in Vedic philosophy, Satan doesn't exist. Satan doesn't exist. In all other religions, he needs to be there. Satan has to be there. And because there is competition between the God and the Satan. Yeah. Everything there is, otherwise, for them to explain, in other religious process I'm saying, in order to explain all the negativity in this world, all the bad things that's happening, all the wickedness, what's going on, war and everything, you need the Satan, isn't it? Satan. Yeah, you need Satan. Only evil is. Only if he is there, you can explain that. Otherwise, it's difficult in all other religious process. Krishna is saying here, even that is coming from me. Hiranyaksha, in Hiranyakashipu also, they are all great personalities as far as Krishna is concerned. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu all, because that is why in Bhagavadam you know that they didn't come from an evil abode, they came from Vaikuntham. Yeah, their source is divine. They may have acted in a different way here, but the source is divine. Therefore, negativity is all in the surface. Negativity is all in the surface. If you go into the source and look there, you can see there is only one vastu there, and know that vastu first. That's what Krishna is saying here. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajandema buddha bhava samanyuta. If you get rid of this good and bad, this Satan and good and all these things, then you know the source where these things are coming from is divine, is very divine. So that is what Krishna is saying here. First know that source, idimatva. After that we can talk about the other things, Krishna says. After that we can talk about the other things. So that's why you will see here that when this idimatva bhajandema buddha bhava samanyita, in relationship with that it says here that aham param brahma vasudevakhyam sarvasya jagataha prabhavaha ulpati mataha evaha sthiti nasha kriya bhalam ubhabhogam lakshanam vikriya rupam sarvam jagat pravartate iti evam matva bhajande sevande mam budaha avagada paramartha tattvaha bhava samanyudaha bhavaha bhavana paramartha tattva abhiniveshaha tena samanyudaha samyutaha ityarthaha. In other words, then this paramartha tattvam, that means the source is divine. What we call as good and bad is all on the surface. We sometimes what happens when we study Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, then we start thinking there is this whole story is all about goodies and baddies, isn't it? If you start studying Bhagavatam like that, ultimately you will all these Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishubala, they will all be in your head all the time, thinking that they are my enemies. And you won't see Kunti Devi, Parikshit, Uddhava, Gopis and all the nice ones. They are all the goodies. And all the baddies are the other ones whom we have called as the one. And it is, they are fighting each other. And we think sometimes people identify to such an extent, they think that between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, that fight between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, we start taking Hiranyakashipu to such levels, thinking that how bad person he is. After all, Hiranyakashipu has come from a place where, and he went back there also with three lifetimes, rather than us, who are still here. So anyway, important thing is, he says here, everything has come from Krishna. That is the first awareness. Krishna, it has born. Everything is staying in Krishna. And everything finally dissolves in Krishna. After knowing that Krishna is present in all these forms in this world, little by little we have to know that inside us. If we develop in this way, the possibility that ragadvesham will go from inside. Ragadvesham, otherwise ragadvesham won't go. Knowing little by little, we have to know this, that everything is come from Krishna, everything is living in Krishna, everything is finally dissolving in Krishna. And it is only Krishna who has come in all these different forms. And if we know that inside us, then little by little, you will know that everything is Bhagavat Swarupam. Which you remember? The first class devotee's qualification. Sarvabhudeshya pashyel Bhagavat Bhavam Atmana. But, so, I know it is very easy to say all these things, but when it comes to practical things, practical means in Vyavaharam, it becomes very difficult. So, somebody who is sitting next to you, whom you don't like, then immediately you feel a kind of, you feel disturbed. That is why Jesus Christ said, love your neighbor first. Isn't it? He didn't say, you go on. It is very easy to love someone who is in America, sitting here. It's no problem. But when somebody is very close to you, you have more problems than anybody else. Just like all our problems are with the neighbors, isn't it? We say, good friends, good way, good neighbors also. Why? Because you know that there are problems likely to happen with the neighbor more than anybody else. So as far as, so when he said that, he said that you should have a loving relationship with everyone in this world. So one of his disciples asked him, it is possible to have that loving relationship with everyone except my neighbor, he said. So that is why he said, otherwise everything is very easy, he says. So to keep a loving relationship with someone who is living in America is not very difficult, isn't it? Because he's so far away, it's not a problem. But I have a problem with him who is next door, either due to the fencing, or he has done something which is upsetting me, or I have done something which is upsetting him. So whatever it is. So border dispute or whatever that is happening, that's impossible. Therefore, Jesus said that first you cultivate your loving relationship with him, which is who is closer to you. Because he is the one who is creating your material existence, samsaram. Your material existence is coming from him. So whichever that takes control of your mind, which takes place, which takes shelter in your mind, that is called material existence. Remember that in this world, there are so many things, isn't it? But who occupies your mind maximum? He creates your material existence. It can be anything. Mostly it is coming from the outside, whether it could be coming from the world in different forms, sometimes from the family members, sometimes from the distant relations, sometimes from the society, sometimes from the office. We don't know where it is coming from. It is coming from some sources, which comes and occupies inside, and that is called material existence or samsaram. Samsaram means whichever that takes place, which takes control of your mind, that is called samsaram. In other words, that which causes attachment, aversion, because it comes in the level of the mind and it takes control of the mind, takes control of the mind. And that goes inside, and in the form of a samskaram, it stays there. In the form of a samskaram, it becomes a samskaram. First comes as a chittavritti, and then chittavritti becomes a samskaram, and then it becomes a vasana, and then you will act. It will give you disturbances inside. And once it becomes very strong, then it becomes very difficult to develop spiritually. To develop spiritually. Because in spiritual life, you are trying to take away all the chittavritti from inside. And that becomes a problem. Or in our dhyanam state, meditation state, or samadhi state, it causes problem. And that whichever that is causing like that, that is called a samsaram. So we have to identify where it's coming from, all these problems of disturbing the mind. So otherwise, it is impossible to give a particular definition to this word called samsaram. For some people, office could be the samsaram, the office where you are working. For some other people, money could be the samsaram. For other people, name and fame could be the samsaram. Some other people, the topics in the material world could be samsaram. Generally, man, woman, desires, all of this, and our attachment in various levels, and all of them will keep expanding inside when it comes in, gets inside. Isn't it? When it gets inside, keeps expanding. So, if you look inside, you will know what is actually causing that disturbance inside, which is causing this attachment or aversion. And in order to remove that is what Krishna is saying, idi matva bhajandema. Bhajanam is for that purpose. Bhajanam, bhajana is for that purpose. In other words, what is that bhajana? Everything is to see that everything is Krishna's expansion, Bhagavad Sarupam. In other words, separated from Krishna, nothing exists. And all the thoughts that is coming inside is also coming from Krishna. It's coming from Krishna. So all the namarupam, names and forms, what you see outside is also Krishna who is present there. All the emotions, everything that coming is coming from Him. Is coming from Him. And it is staying within Him and it is dissolving in Him. So all that what you see outside is Krishna's manifestations. Nothing exists separated from Krishna. And if we cultivate this awareness inside consciously, if we create this understanding inside, Krishna says that is what by that line idimatva bhajandema means. People sometimes think idimatva bhajandema means, oh, I got deities at home, I'm making 5 times offerings, I don't need anything else, what do I need? If you start asking, it doesn't mean anything. That's not what Krishna is saying here. Aham sarva, if you look at that words very carefully, aham sarvasya prabhavo. First thing. Mata sarvam pravartade. Yeah? The world, the senses, the mind, all vyavaharam, transactions, everything is coming from the mind. Mind is that source, isn't it? And where is the mind coming from? Aham. Aham is the source. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. From the mind came the body. From the body came the senses. From the senses came the sense objects. Sense objects is the world. That's how that sequence has happened. So the source is aham. From there sarvasya prabhavo, everything has come out. Matta sarvam pravartade. Due to that, aham sarvam pravartade. Everything is working, the mind is working, everything is working because of the aham inside. Knowing this and the problem associated with that. Idimatva bhajande imam. Buddha bhava samanyutaha. Knowing this well, what Krishna says there, bhajana is required. Bhajanam. Bhajanam, what is a bhajanam? Bhajanam is this. To know that it is from Krishna aham awareness, the mind was born. To the mind was born. And the result of that was that the because of this projection of the mind, it is causing attachment, aversion in the world with different sense objects. So, and this is causing, and various things in this world, in our vyavaharam, is getting inside this mind and creating samsaram for me, material existence. So, identifying that vastu, what is causing that disturbance inside, in my mind, for not able to see Krishna's presence in everything, identifying that and to remove them one after the other through the process of bhajana. And what is that bhajana? Bhajana is this. That if they stay inside me, they will become a problem for me. They will grow inside. Once they grow inside me, a stage will come when I will never be able to go back to the source where it has come from. So all other emotions, excitement, everything that's happening is coming from the source inside. Idimatva bhajande. Aham is the source where all that is happening. And all emotions, ragam, dvesham, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all these things are coming from there. And due to that, ragam, dvesham happens. And because of that, I am seeing this individual existence. I am finding it difficult to project Krishna's presence in everything. Krishna's presence in everything. In reality, they have all come. They are all Krishna, who is present in all these different bodies, isn't it? In all these different bodies, who is present there is Krishna. But I'm not able to see that. So once this understanding comes, that separately nobody is existing, that form what you see, in name and form what you see outside, is not his real identity, rather it is its false identity, what you see outside. And that is what you will see there in the Kapila Maharshi says in the Bhagavatam. Devahuti Devi, he says this in the Bhagavatam. What does he say? He says there that if you look into the third canto, you will see that 29th chapter, verse 27, he says that Athamam sarva bhudeshu bhudalmanam kritalayam arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinnena chakshushaha. Athamam sarva bhudeshu bhudalmanam kritalayam arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinnena chakshushaha. There is no other way. There is no alternative route except to go in this way. What does he say? Athamam sarva bhudeshu, in all living entities, it is a place of Krishna's residence. Bhudalpmanam kridalayam. And then, arhaye dhanamanabhyam, maitreya abhinyena chakshusha. You have to deal with everything with this consciousness, with this understanding. Maitri, abhinyena chakshusha, separate. No, don't see them as separated from Krishna. They are also part and parcel of Krishna. They are not separated from Krishna, all other living entities. In that way, Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, remove all your ragadvesham from inside towards others. There is no other way. They are also part and parcel of Krishna. Arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusha. In other words, in all sarvabhudeshu, sarvabhudam, Krishna is present there. That bhavana inside have to come. And whatever that is necessary in those bodies, who is present there, whatever you have to do for them, do that for them, for their to help them, or to give whatever help you can offer them, because Krishna is present there. Therefore, you have to offer that help to them. That is what this bhava samanyuta means. What Krishna is saying there, you see. So you can see that verse, how complex that verse is. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Each word you have to take it separately. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idimatva bhajande mam buddha bhava samanyutaha. Buddha bhava samanyutaha. So we'll have a short break now. So the 4 days we have for the Easter, Good Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Easter Monday. We have booked the hall and the timings are on the website. If you look, you will see there. So those 4 days, what I was thinking, that we will start with Bhagavatam where we have stopped. So it's been a long time that we had spoken from Bhagavatam. So I thought we'll start with Bhagavatam there and see where we get in those 4 days. As much as we can cover, we will come through that. Canto 11, where we stopped last time. I think 19th or 20th chapter we stopped. So 23rd chapter is the Bhikshu Gita. So there are few chapters preparing us for the Bhikshu Gita. That is 21, 20, 21, 22. If you understand those three chapters, then the 23rd chapter, which is Bhikshu Gita, will be very interesting. You will see that when Krishna brought that Bhikshu into Bhagavatam in Avanti, Brahmana, he didn't do it in a very casual way. Shuka Brahmarshi knew why Bhikshu was brought in there, that Bhikshu. And seeing that Bhikshu's realizations in spiritual life, it's not through sadhana. That's more important. It's not through sadhana that realization has come for the Bhikshu. But Bhikshu's realizations are so high, Krishna could not keep him out of Bhagavatam. And he had to give it as an example to Uddhava. Uddhava, look at this Bhikshu, how he has reached that state, which you are endeavoring hard to get there. So, in order to understand that Bhikshu Gita,
You have to know the chapters before that, because that is the way that Bhagavatam is structured. That through those chapters he is taking us to Bhikshugita. So we'll discuss those chapters. We'll see how far we get there in those 4 days. But otherwise we'll continue with Bhagavad Gita till then. And then by then we'll see what happens at the, by the time July holidays time also, which we have booked on the website, that's already there. So you can have a look at those dates and timings and keep yourself possible to come. So coming back to this. Arhaye Danamanabhyam Maitreya Abhinena Chakshusha. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi. He says to her, Arhaye Danamanabhyam Maitreya Abhinena Chakshusha. That is the statement, isn't it? That Arhaye Danamanabhyam. In other words, all living entities in this world, Krishna is there in them. There is no question of hating anyone or developing any kind of because for our spiritual advancement, we have to forget about all our material problems in this world. They cannot come in the way in our spiritual life. There may be difficulties in dealing sometimes with people, especially in different levels in spiritual life also. But we have to learn to overlook that sometimes. And if it is finding it difficult, you have to step out from that state. Because what Krishna is saying here is, that if it is becoming a disturbance inside, you have to remove the disturbance first. And remove that disturbance, whatever that is necessary has to be done. It should not grow inside as a fight, and it should not develop into a war later. As in, it has happened in many cases. That whole lifetime they spend in battling each other, especially when you see nowadays, gurus and disciples are taking to the Supreme Court each other and battling there also to sort out the problems. Why? Inside it has got inside so deeply and they are finding it difficult to take it out from there. Externally they are all saying that we are all Vaishnavas, we should not commit abradham and all that. But when it comes to the serious issues, there is real animosity. Yeah, animosity is inside and finding it difficult to take it out now. It has gone so deeper inside. What can be done? So therefore, world is not important for us. For us, the inside world is more important. Outside world, so many things will go on. What does it matter at the end? They are not important. But if you want to take Bhagavatam seriously or Krishna's word seriously, then we have to take out those things from inside. That is what later on Krishna is going to... This whole Bhikshugita is also only pointing out this one thing. We have three classes of people in this world. Friends, enemies and those who are indifferent. These three classes. Everywhere in the world if you look, you will see these three categories. Somebody who is very friendly to you. Someone who is your bitter enemy. And the third one who does not bother you. He just comes and goes. It doesn't matter too much. Out of these three, Krishna is saying, who is the most powerful one? We don't have to say that. We all know who it is. Isn't it? It is that one who has, with whom you have a problem. Isn't it? So that is what Krishna is saying. Everybody in this world you can categorize into these three columns, he says. Friend, enemy, and the indifferent. So they won't cause any problems. Which one? The friendly one. They are not a big problem. Our friendship is all very much on the surface. It will go after a while. You'll easily forget your friend. But enemy you won't forget. He will burn inside all the time. Isn't it? So that is why Krishna says there, if you allow them to stay inside, and if you allow them to grow inside, they will all create problems for you at the time of death. Because all of them will come to you in person. That is when their personality will appear. And that is what manifests at that time, at the time of death. And all the attachments, what we had, they'll all come in different forms. So therefore, that Bhikshugita is famous in the Bhagavatam for this reason. That how to get ready for the death. Before death happens, how one should keep out all these things, which is going to cause disturbances later. So that is why in the Bhagavatam that Bhikshugita is given importance. So here also Krishna is saying here, Bhava Samanvitaha. In other words, we should not conduct any worship, any deity worship or any kind of
any kind of spiritual life without bhavam. From this verse you can see that. Oh, it's on, sorry. No, it's on, yeah, it's off. Yeah. So idimatva bhajandemam buddha bhava samanyuta. Bhavam is important. As I mentioned before, due to sattvagunam we may do spiritual activities. But if the bhavam is not there, that even though the activities are in sattvagunam, it is still not what is required. It's still not required. So important is the bhavam. Bhavagrahi janardana, Krishna says, isn't it? Bhavagrahi is bhavam is what Krishna sees. What's the bhavam inside? What we say, the mood, isn't it? The mood inside. So here you can see that here Kamalamashi says to Devahuti Devi, Arhaye Dhanamanabhyam Maitreya Abhinnena Chakshusha. If you look at the words very carefully, you will see there that Maitreya Abhinnena Chakshusha, he says. That Athamam Sarvabhudeshu Budalmanam Kritalayam Arhaye Dhanamanabhyam Maitreya Abhinnena Chakshusha. He says here, Athamam, first of all, me, Krishna says, mam means that awareness again. Again, Krishna is referring to that awareness. Sarveshu Bhudeshu, Athamam Sarvabhudeshu, in all living entities. Sarveshu Bhudeshu, Budalmanam Kritalayam. Who is present as the soul in everyone. Buddhalpanam Kritalayam. Kritalayam, that means that is where all the activities are happening there, in that body, isn't it? Different in this body. Buddhalpanam Kritalayam. And knowing that, Arhaye Dhanamanabhyam. Knowing that who is present inside, always remember that Krishna is present inside that person. Krishna is present inside that person. Therefore, offer him all the respects, Dhanamanabhyam. Whatever, if you want to help him anyway, if you can help him, help him. But even if you can't help him, offer him respects. That is what Krishna's point is. Arhaye Dhanamanabhyam. If it was close members of the family or someone with whom if you can offer any help, you should offer the help within your capacity. You don't have to go out of the way to do anything, but what is within your capacity? Arhayed, according to your capabilities, dana manabhyam. Dana means offer the help, and manam means offer the respect to him. Maitreya, abhinyena chakshusha. Maitri means that always in a friendly relationship with that living entity. Why? Krishna is present there. At that point, you have to forget all our inimical problems, difficulties with him, or other revengeful feelings, or whatever is coming there. Krishna says you should take that out. Maitreya Abhinena Chakshusha. What does Abhinena means? Abhinena means to know that Krishna is present in that. Krishna is not, he is not separated from Krishna. Krishna is present there in that body. Chakshusha. Seeing that, one should deal with that person. That is what he is saying here. So, and that is what it is here. Krishna is saying here. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajande imam buddha bhava samanyita. Bhava samanyita. Bhava samanyita means this. Which one? Arhaya dana manabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusha. That is that bhava samanyita. That bhavam is necessary in particularly while dealing with other living beings in this world. Not only to other devotees, even to other karmis also, karmi or whatever it is. Because devotee karmi is what we identify. Inside the same divinity is there in that person also. It is impossible to think that because in early stages, because they're going to affect you so much, therefore you stay away from them to some degree, but not to allow to develop a hate inside because that he is not following the same tradition as me, and therefore to hate that person or to create any kinds of ill feeling or or other difficulties with that person. That's what Krishna says here. So it should not become mechanical, it should be bhava samanyuta, even while engaged in the deity worship. So, sometimes, some pujaris who has done deity worship for a long time, they lose all their bhavam. Why? Because they were doing mechanically for many years. It becomes like that. What to do? That they lost that. bhavam has gone completely, because year after year, why does that happen? Because that proper spiritual consciousness didn't come to him. But even if that happens to him, those who are going to the temple should not stop going to the temple because of that. Because that Krishna will take care, that person's relationship with Krishna. But it can happen even to people who are doing deity worship. They'll become like that. Bhavam goes away from them. So sometimes we talk about that. Sometimes pujaris always also, they get into household life. Then household life means what? Money. Once these things come, then you will see, where can I find the money? they will look for that. You see, naturally it happens that way. And then you forget that I am a pujari with the deity worship, everything will get colored with money. What can you do? It will become that. That will naturally comes in there. And then it becomes very difficult. It becomes very difficult. And sometimes what happens, pujaris, they take up deity worship in 3-4 temples. You'll take, because he's not able to earn enough from one temple, so he start thinking that other temples also he will take up the rest. This all happens in the society. So when that happens, generally what happens is, because he is thinking about the next place where he has to go to, he's not able to do the worship in the first temple where he is now. And it becomes simply a mechanical process then. Just simply become a mechanical process. And that is what Krishna is saying here, that it should not become, spiritual life should not become a mechanical thing. Mechanical thing. Bhava samanyudaha. In other words, deity worship means puja. Worship means bhavam. Bhavam. Bhavam means what? So that deity whom you are worshipping, he is present there in everyone, in every species, in every form, and by different names, he is still there. Only thing is, you have to know how to worship him. You have to know how to worship him. So, in other words, that when you know that Krishna is present in other, these are all, of course, referring to the people who have gone very high in spiritual life. When they see people, those who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita very well, and have put into practice in their life, they will know these things. They are conscious of these things all the time. So when they see a person, also they will know that how to please the Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside that person, how to please him, how he will wake up from inside. Even if you just pay a simple offer, some respects to that person, the Antaryami will get pleased with that, offering the respects to him. Offering the respects to him. So what is special about this offering respects? It is like this. So, one who has got too proud, for him, that he will actually get affected by the respect what you have offered to him. and to whom you are making this offering the respects, actually you are not offering the respects to that body, to respect that body. It is to the Antaryami inside that person you are offering the respects. And you can invoke that Antaryami from inside. Of course, this is possible only for those who have gone very far in spiritual life, that they have developed that realizations about the presence of Antaryami. But at least not to offend anyone under any circumstances, and to able to break away from that if a situation develops in that way. So many people say that big things they can get done in this way, through the influence of the Antaryami. So when you have to get something done from some great person, some important thing, then first invoke that Antaryami inside that person. That is the principle. So assuming that Krishna is present inside as Antaryami, and before we go to them itself, that if you have a relationship with that Antaryami inside, and if you are able to make that communication with that Antaryami, it is possible to get the things even done. And it is a very higher state of experience. So if you conduct, if you execute that sadhana properly, even before you ask for it, things can happen in life.
So this is only a technique in the Antaryami Upasana. In the Antaryami Upasana, this is a technique what is mentioned there. Of course, that happens one who has woken up to that stage of Antaryami. But it does take time to come to this understanding. It won't happen overnight. But whether how this reciprocate, first of all, most of us have difficulty to accept there is Antaryami inside, isn't it? That's our first problem. And then we do not know how to communicate with Antaryami. Antaryami acts in different levels with different people. If you ask, it is very difficult to answer that, is it coming from Antaryami, if you ask that question. Many instances, people have a thinking that somebody is sitting there. This Antaryami principle itself, that is why if you study Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and also Bhagavatam, this one principle of Antaryami, Krishna goes on talking about it. And even from the third canto, Krishna has begun that. And in the 11th canto also, Krishna talks about that. If you follow that through without questioning that and doubting it, then things will happen in its own way in your own life. When you will know that is when Krishna puts you in the corner. It is possible. It can happen in life. You never know what will happen. What is waiting in the doorstep, you don't know. Any moment, things can happen in life. Everything can turn against you. Your situation can change in this world. So many things can happen. But when all those things are happening, if Antaryami, your own Antaryami is favorable to you, he will release the right understanding to you from inside. And that itself is a big relief at that point. When situations develops, these are all very subtle things. That's the only way you can explain Antaryami. Initially it is like that. When distress comes and frustration comes in life, various ways, everything is going wrong, and you feel totally lost in this world, which can happen. It's not that, it's not necessary, it depends on the person again, that things can happen, go against you in many ways and finds life very monotonous and frustrating. And all, everything in household and life, particularly this can happen. It's very easy to happen. Children will turn against you. Problems with husband and wife. All this is common in family life, isn't it? And you start wondering, you have given so much love and affection to all of them, and with the very people with whom you are expecting, that didn't happen. And then you start getting shockwaves at that time. Why did this happen to me? They ask. Then, in some instances, they may change the relationships, move away to somebody else and start some. But if your prarabdham is bad, you're going to experience the same thing there also. It's not going to be different anywhere. But a thoughtful person will see through these things, that these distress what is coming from life in different forms. While all these things are happening, your body is also withering away. It's also showing its own problems. It's coming, finding difficulty, you're becoming dependent on others. And so many problems are happening in life in different ways. These are general things, I can only talk about it in our own daily life, isn't it? So when all these things are happening, if this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna has spoken, this can be a great shelter. No doubt about that. And if they come to you at the right time in the form of thoughts, who has to release that? Antaryami has to release that. And that is when you will notice the presence of Antaryami inside. And when you get a lot of knocks in life from all sides, all great devotees, if you look, that's what has happened to them, isn't it? They had gone through such distress in life. Eventually, they realized it, only Krishna exists, nothing else exists here. That you will know, everybody is like that. All the great devotees, they have gone through this. And that is why we are studying their life history, isn't it? All the acharyas, devotees. Why do you study about them? To get this understanding from that. That this is what they have gone through. This is what finally is on offer in this world, ultimately. That is why Krishna put it like this to us. Janmam, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi,
dukkham. Not one is good out of the five. Janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkham. Out of these five, which one will you choose? Where is the choice there? There is no choice. All of them will come. Either one will come or all of them will come one after the other. And Krishna is saying to us, dukkha dosha anu darshanam. And get that understanding first. This is a mandatory requirement. This janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anu darshanam is a necessity to realize that first. Only then your spiritual life will grow. Otherwise it won't. In the Bhagavadam also, there's also places, dukkhani alokya jandushu. People come to spiritual life after dukkham. Dukkhani alokya jandushu alam uditam. What is that? From there dukkham comes. Uditam what? Vivegam. Vivegam, sense. You'll become a little bit sensible. Spiritual life is not a project. Don't make it as a project. It is not a project that I have to execute. People fall into that situation. They start making spiritual life a project. That, oh, I'm doing my 16 rounds, I've chanted or studied Srimad Bhagavatam, I've preached so much, and now I'm waiting for the results to come. That's not how spiritual life works. Dukkhanya alokya jandushu alam muditaku viveka koham acharya varyaladva tvadrupatatvam gunacharitagada ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. That is how it is. Dukkhanya alokya jandushu. Living entities, when they experience distress through this, birth, death, old age, disease and distress, everything comes to them. Then vivegam comes to them. Discrimination comes to them. They start thinking, what is this life all about? What is there in this world to look forward to? Only when you come to that question, you can start some spiritual life. Vivegoham ajarya varya labdhva todrupatatvam. At that point, you will become more absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. Only then you can take Krishna consciousness seriously. That what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all these verses will make some sense to us. Otherwise it won't make any sense. You'll keep on reading this day after day. And then you'll say, well, like I mentioned, these are the people who reject all Shastram and then they go saying that I've gone to the temple, I've done my bit there, what I have to do, and that's it, that's all I can do. I have to work hard in this world, I have to earn my living, I have to maintain my family, I have to do this, I have to do that. So many things, but why without all this understanding? So, lebdhva todruba tattvam gunacharita gada. The tattvam is to be understood first. Todruba tattvam, Krishna's tattvam. Krishna tattvam, we have to know. That's what we are discussing. These verses are Krishna tattvam it is. So, gunacharita gada ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. When we understand the tattvam and then we hear about Krishna, bhakti bhuma, bhakti will develop in the heart. That is the principle. So, here also, Krishna is saying here that the idimatva bhajandemam buddha bhava samanyidaha. So, you are giving food to somebody. Someone is hungry. You are giving food to him, but you should never think that it is a social service. If you give in that mood, it is not spiritual life. On the other hand, Krishna is present in the form of that guest there. And with that vivekam, with that discrimination offer, you give prasadam to them. That it will help because prasadam is Krishna's mercy. Isn't it? So whoever has come and if you have got an opportunity to give that prasadam to them and you happen to be an instrument in that process, that is Krishna's mercy. That's the way it should be done. Only then it will have its effect. Arhaye dana manabhyam maitreya abhinyana chakshusha. Kavila Maharshi says there. So any karmam, what is performed in that way, so so when the person is offered prasadam, you are offering to Krishna who is present in there, who is taking prasadam. Vaishvanara in that person is accepting that prasadam. That is why, have you noticed one thing? In the Vedic system, whenever you invite a great person, guest, and offer him prasadam, and look after him, please him nicely, and then you offer him some money as a dakshina also to him. Why is that? For accepting this from you. You see, it's a very high principle that you don't tell him, look, I've given you food and everything, now you can go. No, that's not the system. System is this, that you give everything to somehow to please that Antaryami inside. And finally, you are given him food, a place, a shelter, everything, and you look after him as best as you can, and finally you give him some as a token of appreciation for accepting your hospitality. That's the principle. For accepting your hospitality. Thus, that's why, just like what they say, thanksgiving. Isn't it? So, so that's all. Therefore, it is not with the expectation that it should be given. It should be given to please the Antaryami inside. So, and if you do that, he will from inside that pleasure, what Antaryami has experienced in him, if he has experienced that pleasure, it will come in another form to us, in a benefit. It will come to us. So, if he offers respects to you for your service to him, if you do that, it will come as a blessing from him to you. So, and there, you should not make any discrimination that, oh, you can have prasadam, you can't have prasadam. And then it becomes totally, I don't know how to put that. Sometimes it happens. If you do like that, you can have prasadam, but you can't have it. If that is the understanding while giving prasadam, that is not Maitreya Abhinayana Chakshusha. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, therefore, what Krishna said here was that, so, in Vyavahara Mandalam, in Vyavaharam, field of Vyavaharam, to practice this knowledge is a bit difficult, isn't it? It's a very difficult thing to practice this knowledge. That is why, while prasadam, giving prasadam and all that, Prabhupada always mentioned, whatever prasadam is there, share it to everybody. Don't start discriminating people. Sometimes it happens, Maha goes upstairs, and the rice and dal goes to the others, and this is a very sad state of affairs, because this is not proper understanding. What did Krishna say? Yadyad ishtadamam loge yachadi priyama almana tattan nivedayan mahyam sadanandaya kalpade. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna says like that. Yadyad ishtadamam loge. We all like prasadam, isn't it? Everybody likes prasadam, nice prasadam. Yadyad ishtadamam loge. What is that? Whatever you find, you like it in this world, give that to the other person. Yadyad ishtadamam loge. What is dear to you? Yachati priyamalmana. Offer that. Good prasadam if you like, you give good prasadam to others. That is the principle. Know that I will have good prasadam. You can have some rice and dal. That's enough for you. For you only deserve that. That's not offering prasadam. Whatever you have the best you can offer, you should offer that to others. That is the principle. Yadyad ishtadamam loge yachadi priyamalmana tatan nivedayan mahyam tadanandhyaya kalpade. All this is that word bhajana refers to. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajandeyamam buddha bhava samanyutaha. Bringing back all this knowledge into practical life, that is spiritual life, that is bhakti. That is what Krishna is talking about. Not that it's always a problem. This prasadam and kitchen, there starts all the problems from the kitchen. In any ashramam, if you go, in every temples also, all the problems starts from the kitchen. Everywhere you will see, there will be arguments, quarrels and fights about the prasadam. I didn't get this, you got that. And this way there will be always trouble in the temples. So that's why best thing is that the temple must offer everything what they have to everybody, not to create any separations there. And in order that to happen, that this prasadam distribution can be a great boost to the devotees, provided it is done in the proper way. Then it will be boost the feeling of the devotees to the deity. And when they serve prasadam is given to them, and when they take that prasadam, Antaryami inside gets pleased with that, and the response from the Antaryami comes. So, therefore, that is what bhajate, that idimatva bhajandemam buddha bhava samanyita, Krishna saying here. Similarly, in any object, whether it is a flower,
or whether it's a dog or a cat or whatever it is, in all of them, always to recognize that in Antaryami form, Krishna is present inside. So that does not mean, just like you say, oh, Krishna is there in that dog, so I lock him up inside. That's not what it is. Let that remain and its freedom, with its freedom what it has got. But after executing this bhajana, or this buddha idimatva bhajante imam, after executing this bhavana bhajana with that bhavam, what Krishna has spoken here, there will be an experience in our own heart inside. We will feel a satisfaction inside, and that experience is bhakti. That experience is bhakti, and bhakti yogam is nothing but this satisfaction from serving the other living entities, seeing as Krishna's expansions there, and pleasing the Antaryami in everyone, whoever comes into contact with you. It may not be possible to feed the whole world and to look after. This is only one thing in relationship with other things also. That's what Krishna is saying here, that when that happens, that Bhagavad Gita, in the Krishna, if we look into Bhagavad Gita, we discussed this in the 12th chapter. There is no reference anywhere there about worshipping a particular deity even, as far as Bhakti Yogam chapter is concerned. Can you look at that and see yourself? That there is not a reference anywhere in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita about worshipping a deity in a particular form. Because the way Krishna explains bhakti is like this. That he says here that a particular form, he doesn't say you have to worship there, that you have to decorate the deity nicely, and nothing is spoken there. On the other hand, and he has included that in this worship. He has included deity worship, but he hasn't said that alone is the bhakti process. He never said that. What he has said is, this principle of bhakti we have to understand. What is that principle? This principle that yadyadishtadamam loke yachadi priyam atmana tattan nivedayan mahyam tada anandaya kalpade, Krishna says. By offering that to other living entities, presence of Krishna in other living entities, recognizing that and pleasing them in all possible ways, whatever one can do, and in the process of that, the Antaryami in the other person gets satisfied, and he showers everything what you need. He takes care of, because that is your progress in the bhakti, your bhakti process. That's your progress in the bhakti process. Not otherwise. Otherwise, if you simply think that it is just worshipping a particular deity at home and I'm making progress in the deity worship, is not rejected. That's not what Krishna is saying here. But but it is included in the deity worship, is necessary also, but that alone is not spoken as the deity, as a special process. It's not spoken there. Sarvabhudam, Krishna says there in the 12th chapter, you will see, if you look, presence of Krishna as seeing as the in every living entity, as Antaryami, making that concept strong inside is spiritual life, is bhakti. Look at the next verse. Verse 9, isn't it?
Yeah, 9.
Machitta madgada prana
bhodayanda parasparam
kathayandascha mam nitya tushyanti cha ramanti cha
machitta madgada prana
bodhayanta parasparam
kathayandascha
mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha machitta madgada prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayandascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. This is that second verse of the four verses. Translation: the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me.
and they derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. So that translation is right, but machitta, but we have to understand that a little bit more than that. What is it all about? Machitta madgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. Krishna is saying that, isn't it? So look at it this way. The machitta. Mayi chittam yesham te machitta. Mayi chittam yesham te machitaha. Malgada pranaha. Malgadaha mam gadaha praptaha. Chachuryadaya prana yesham te malgada pranaha. Then, mayi ubasamhrada karanam iti artaha adhava malgada pranam madgada jivana iti etat. So, machitam madgada pranam. And machitta means one who has handed over the mind to Krishna. Machitta. Madgada pranam means all our senses, means five senses of knowledge, senses of action, and the pranam, our living force inside, all given in Krishna service. And in other words, senses of knowledge and senses of action are not acting independently for sense gratification, is always in Krishna service. Bodhayantaha avagamayantaha parasparam anyonyam kathayando jnana bela viryadi dharmehi vishishtam mam tushyanticha paritosham upayandi ramanticha ratimcha prapnuvandi priyasamgatya iva. Because Krishna has these qualifications, qualities in Krishna, isn't it? What are they? Jnanam viryam. Knowledge in Krishna, viryam, that strength in Krishna. Then because of these qualifications in Krishna, always talking about that, Krishna's knowledge and whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna has given us, speaking about that and the transcendental qualifications of Krishna, seeing through Krishna's pastimes, not how many demons Krishna has killed. That's not what is spoken about. In every activity, what Krishna has performed, manifested pastimes in this world, seeing in all of them Krishna's superior position, recognizing that, not through the force alone, but through the knowledge part of it. How Krishna has acted in every situation in this world, Mahabharata war, and in relationship with the gopis, in relationship with Yashoda and Devaki, and Nanda Maharaj, and Vasudev, all that relationships what Krishna has, how he has reacted with them, even with the closer devotees like Uddhava and Arjuna. In all of them, you can see that knowledge in Krishna on a very higher level compared to others in this world, isn't it? So from there, bodhayanda parasparam, speaking about this Krishna's superior relationship in this world with others, and all full detachment from everything in all circumstances. Bodhayanda parasparam, speaking about all these transcendental qualities of Krishna, tushyanticha ramanticha, and absorbing in that. We'll discuss that verse in detail tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.